Tonight's least surprising headline, Pokemon Sun and Moon are the fastest selling Nintendo games in the Americas. Not bad for a still portable only franchise. We'll also catch you up on the news and reveals from two gaming events. And it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 668 of our program for this December the 4th of 2016. My name is Rob Roberts, coming at you live from Studio N7 in Sacramento, California, with my co-host, Techmaster Loki over there, as he is every week.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
My mic's hot.
Yeah, your mic is hot?
Is sitting next to the vent fan on my laptop. I didn't realize it was so warm.
I hope the listeners weren't picking that up. That would be a little awkward if all
no,
the listeners
started off.
At the beginning of the show. No, it's all good. How was your week?
Well...
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I think just that one word response says all we need to know there. That's plenty for me. Anyway, how's your game? You said you were thinking about focusing on your game a little more this week. Did that actually happen?
Sort of, but not. I mean, let me put it this way. I did work in Unity quite a bit this week, not on my game, because I was trying to get back into my game, and I realized I was so rusty because I had taken such a long break from it, like that the basics were kind of lost on me. So I started working on another project just for the hell of it. I went through like a tutorial for like a multiplayer first-person shooter game. And so I've got, you know, the basics of, like, I can move around, I can aim, and I can play multiplayer across a network. So that was basically it. It was just to kind of get, you know, my feet wet again back in Unity. And so, you know, I'm enjoying it quite a bit, being able to do that. And then I was going to work on something else, and then I have had several concepts I've been working on. Then my wife said that I should work on making a new Excite truck. So I was like, I was looking at the feasibility of that, and then actually, it's not.
Your wife loves to tease you about video games and all that stuff, but she likes Excite truck.
Yeah, because she's playing Excite truck right now again. So she wanted to play it again. So I set it up on the Wii U and
nice.
Been doing that. But yeah, I was looking at the feasibility of making a new Excite truck, and it's not that difficult actually. So let me look into that.
All right, cool. Not joining us here, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She's on her continued hiatus from the show due to a work conflict. However, I can let you all know she'll be back next Sunday. That work conflict is going to be ending, so she'll be back with us for the rest of the shows in December. We'll let you know also our holiday schedule with Christmas and New Year's falling on a Sunday. We have to kind of work all that out, so we're going to let you guys know next week once the three of us can kind of talk about it when we will have shows and so forth, because not only are there the holidays, but then I will be at MAGFest the very next Sunday, so it's kind of like you have a lot of... Which is a holiday of sorts for nerds, I think, especially those of you on the East Coast. I don't think a lot of people are that crazy like me that travel all the way from the West Coast, but I think a lot of you in the Northeast that are into gaming and stuff, probably a holiday for you guys as well, and I look forward to joining you again for my second year at MAGFest. That'll be exciting. But Dark Soccer is out. However, we do have some awesome guests in studio helping us to, help fill her presence with her not being here, and some voices you've heard on the show before. Say hello. Welcome back to the show from a few weeks ago. Say hello to JD is back with us tonight.
Hi.
Or is it JD?
Well, if you want to say it that way, that's fine.
That's fine.
I usually don't bother.
How are you doing? And JD's kind of like the guy that's still a music game enthusiast.
Yeah.
Not that I dislike. I certainly don't dislike music games. I mean, I know y'all are thinking about the Parappa thing, and we'll talk about that later for sure. But I don't follow it as closely. Like, or somebody will do one of those like Bomani jokes that uses one of the newer songs from a 2DX style since like they dropped the numbers and went with like Red and stuff, and I just go blink 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 blink, I don't get it. But you would probably still, you make those jokes still.
Yeah, well, so to be fair, my knowledge has kind of trailed off a bit too. You know, since they stopped making home versions, I haven't been keeping current because it's a lot more effort to go out to the arcade and find, you know, where the newest one is. So I stop at about 16.
But speaking of going to the arcade, so we went to Roseville Golfland we were in Roseville, and you remember there was a Golfland there, and I was like, oh, it's kind of sad now, but we'll still
go. It
really was. We'll still go. And you played Max 2.
Yeah.
We did a round of that, and that was fun. And then that was it, because that's all the Bomani they have there, really.
Yeah, like, and we searched the place pretty good, but they didn't have
anything.
I think
they had a Guitar Freaks that was off.
They had a Guitar Hero, I think.
Yeah, but that doesn't
Well, it doesn't count, really, because it's not Bomani, yeah. But I think
it was
still
there. They got rid of a
lot
of stuff. They used to have it. Was it Disney Rave there?
Disney Rave
is gone.
Have that anymore.
Yeah, I know.
That
they got rid of that a while ago.
That surprised me. I thought that thing would be there till the end of time. But, okay, here's the thing, though, that I have to ask you about. So I tweeted a picture saying, like, throwback Saturday, and it was a picture of you and Alan playing DDR on the Max 2 machine, and you played DDR barefoot, and I was getting tweets back about you playing barefoot, and, like, nobody was saying the ew cooties thing. That would have been the thing I would have tweeted. But people were concerned about the safety of your feet. So you play DDR machines barefoot.
Well, so for some context, I grew up in Florida and, you know, like people dress differently there. And so I'm used to wearing sandals all the time. And so I started playing DDR barefoot and just that's kind of a thing for me. Part of it is just I have a better sense of where I am on the pad because I can feel it more. Like in shoes, you kind of lose some of that and it's easy to get off and not realize that you're not where you're needing to be. So it's a lot more responsive for me. And I don't really find it uncomfortable. Like, I know some people like trip and fall or whatever, but I think it helps me keep my balance better.
I think that also goes with the whole classic debate and like literally years old debate about bar versus no bar is things like balance and stuff. And that's a years old debate I'm not going to get into tonight. But
I mean, I used to be like really care about that a lot. And now I don't. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm getting older.
You grew up, right?
Yeah.
We all grew up and it's like, it's not worth arguing about.
I'm like, I'm not in the shape I used to be. And I kind of like fall over sometimes like, oh, hey, this is what this is for. Oh, I can like, you know, anyway.
Yeah, no, awesome. I know you got to play a lot of newer music games, too, because you were at Round 1 this week. I'll save that for your gaming week, because you probably want to talk a little bit about that there. But I want to make sure we introduce as well. We just name-checked him, and here he is in studio, gracing us with his presence again. Alan's back.
Hello.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. So I don't want to spoil your gaming week too much, but I do find it interesting that you were playing the crap out of Skyrim HD, and then all of a sudden, what happened? You regressed into an older Elder Scrolls game.
I fell back to Morrowind, which I've played. Morrowind was one of those games where I've played like the first 2 hours of it like five times over the 10 years that it's been out or whatever. I think it's been out, 2003, longer. But I never got past that hurdle, and I finally got some mods and just like, I'm going to dive in and play this for real. And I'll talk more about it during my gaming week. But
sure.
Yeah, so I've was actually going to revisit my new Skyrim hero tonight, but I've been playing Morrowind.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've just got Elder Scrolls on the brain, I guess.
We talk about classic games on this show for a reason. Morrowind is a classic at this point. So, you know, well, I think it always was a classic probably after the day it came out. Certainly a lot of love still for that game. So,
I can definitely see really awesome things that you could do in Morrowind that honestly were pretty overpowered if you knew how to exploit the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a hack or anything. It's just like, oh, if you do this and this, like this is a legit rule that will work. But I can see stuff like that in Morrowind that they just got rid of entirely for Skyrim and possibly Oblivion.
Let me ask you real quick about one other game you've been really into, and then I'll get into our kickoff topic tonight. Another game that's a couple years old, but you seem to be really into this. I'm trying to understand, like, what your fandom is for this game, and that's Mortal Kombat X. Like, you know, I see you watching YouTubes and stuff, so you're like, into this right now?
Yeah. The thing is that I don't know if it was January of this year or last year, because I have no concept of time, because it's the end of the year. Mortal Kombat XL was announced for consoles, and Mortal Kombat X for PC was kind of like abandonware because the netcode was terrible. Versus mode simply did not work. Of course, the people were rightly furious about it in the forums, and it just seemed like dealing with the PC client was more trouble than it's worth, or at least that's the impression that NetherRealm Studios gave. Well, all of a sudden, I noticed, Mortal Kombat XL, which... XL was like the Game of the Year edition with all of the extra costumes and fatalities and stuff, but there were also four or five characters like Leatherface, Bo Raicho, Triborg, which is like four characters in one, Jason, Alien, all that stuff came to consoles in the XL package, and PC never got that, and I was kind of salty about it. But all of a sudden, they're like, oh, if you own the main game, which I got during a Steam sale, and pay like $8, you can upgrade to XL. And oh, by the way, here's the performance patch that should have been in the first month. Here's the upgraded netcode so that Versus actually works. So it's like, oh, this game is suddenly viable again because of the fact that they addressed a bunch of issues that they had sort of ignored.
So, I mean, that kind of made you give the game a second look. What maintains your enthusiasm for it? Because I imagine there's a lot of people that watch the fatalities one time, giggle, and then that's it. But you've kind of maintained this.
Mortal Kombat X was really sort of infuriating because the quality of the fighting system, even though I'm not good enough to really take advantage of it, the juggling, the air combos, the detail put into the graphics and the stages and the characters is really incredible. And I really feel that X and also the reboot, Mortal Kombat 9, where they just told basically the story of the first 3.5-4 games over the course of the narrative of the first one, really are the best Mortal Kombat games that they've made. It doesn't mean that the previous ones, like I know Shaolin Monks on PS2, the one which is like sort of an adventure fighting game, was really good. So it doesn't mean that the other previous games were bad. But my point being is that
there's a right way to reboot a game and there's a wrong way to reboot a game. And Mortal Kombat did a very good job of that, whereas, you know, there's been plenty of other franchises.
Like if someone really loved Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, they may even say, I might play that for nostalgia, but I would rather just play the new Mortal Kombats because they're the same thing but better. The DLC model that Warner Brothers and NetherRealm Studios introduced for X back before XL and the Alien and Jason pack was really extortionary and awful. Like, it's one of the worst DLC models I've ever seen, where there was a collector's edition that cost like $70, but then Goro didn't come with it, and Goro was like $10 on his own, and then there was other characters that were like $20 on top of that. And it's like, this, if you bought everything the first 2 months it came out, I almost felt like you could spend $100 or more on it.
Which is why you always wait for the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, which
I also want Warner Brothers to know. I mean, not that they listen to the show, but just in case. I want them to know they lost a sale of the game because of that to me, because I knew in the back of my mind they're going to repackage this in a year as the Game of the Year edition. And sure enough, they did. But by that time, I moved on. I never picked up Mortal Kombat, which is tragic because I still recognize, you know what, it's a pretty darn good game. But I think they really screwed up with the whole value thing. They really, really screwed up with it.
They weren't the first. They weren't the first and definitely won't be the last.
Yes, thank you, Capcom.
That does stuff like that where there's a collector's edition. Oh, but you can also get the season pass, like shadiness. But it was just so flagrant that, like, you're going to pay out the notes for these characters. And if you're into tournaments and stuff, you have to have them. And I was like, and I know, I'm sure if I listened to go to the OLR archives from a year and a half ago, there were several stories about how disgusting the DLC model was.
Which you can do at orangeloungeradio.com.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, Loki, what do you want to bet? Infinite means infinite DLC. Getting ahead of myself?
They will have a lot of DLC, I guarantee that.
Infinite means infinite DLC.
Because right now there's no X-Men going to be coming, you know, to the movie, because they apparently for the right, Marvel Cinematic rights, which has...
But
I don't understand.
The minute they sign that contract, DLC.
Of course.
Sounds plausible.
But it doesn't make any sense. Like, they're, because we don't have the rights to the Marvel Cinematic, you know, universe. I'm like...
That is...
It's not a fucking movie. It's a goddamn video game. What the hell does that have to do with
that
anything?
That is the $5,000 space on the wheel of plausibility. The minute the X-Men thing gets signed, DLC.
They stopped doing X-Men because they can't further license off of it. If they want to make a movie, they can't. So that's why they've started replacing X-Men with Inhumans, which, don't even get me started. It's a whole thing.
All right. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Sorry, that's totally my fault, but I felt it still was a little topical. So some companies still have some things to learn about DLC. Clearly.
Yes. So the fact that I could, that, oh, this isn't abandonware, they fixed it, because it ran really crappy on my decent computer before the performance patch that came out with this, to where, depending on which stage I got, it really had lag to it. Now it's a smooth 60 frames per second, regardless of the stage, because they optimized the port, because obviously it was made for consoles first, PC second. And I was like, okay, so I paid whatever, $8-$10. I got all these characters. It works now. I could play online mode versus if I wanted to, which I absolutely don't because I'm terrible. And I was like, okay, now I can experience this game and have it perform well and see really what an incredible product it is. Mm-hmm. It's just, really solid fighting game. And of course, the fatalities are as realistic and grosser than they've ever been in 10. They're not really campy at all. Yeah. So there's that whole aspect, which is like a totally separate thing about violence or whatever in video games. But just, it was so well made, and I never got to appreciate it because of how their DLC character model was so extortionary, it left a really bad taste in everyone's mouth. And enough time had passed where I sort of had forgiven that.
Right, right. All right, well, we'll talk to you more about the games you've been playing lately a little bit later on in the show. But I want to get to our kickoff topic tonight, which ironically is a little bit about our gaming weeks. And I think for a lot of you out there, your gaming weeks, because we talked about this a little bit last week, but a game that, you know, many people have been waiting 10 years for was finally released this past week. So one of the big things that happened in gaming news was the release of Final Fantasy 15. And I have to, you know, give Square Enix some kudos for thinking of this idea. Whether you like it or not, they've been really good at pushing Final Fantasy 15 all over social media, because this game is really designed to use the crap out of that share button on the PlayStation 4 and even equivalent stuff on the Xbox One because of this whole selfie thing that Prompto does. One of the characters takes pictures throughout the game, and the game is practically like just setting it up. It's not begging you to share. You don't get any like incentive for sharing, but it's like, it is so easy to share these photographs that look really, really good and serve as a little bit of a memory of your journey. Like, so for that reason, I think even the people that aren't playing Final Fantasy 15 kind of can't get away from it because it's everywhere, right?
That's me. I don't have a PS4, so I'm not playing FF15, but I have like several different friends who've been sharing photos, and the fanfic writes itself. Like, the photos are really good.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Let's start with you. What do you think? Because you've even mentioned to me, I'm more of a Final Fantasy outsider. I played 7 and 8, and you've said on the show before, you don't play a lot of modern console systems. You focus on music games and stuff from PS2.
And Nintendo.
But I know you've watched me play some Final Fantasy 15 throughout the weekend. So what are kind of like, and plus what you see on the social media, what are your impressions of 15 compared to these other games?
I mean, it looks pretty fun. It seems pretty straightforward. It's do a bunch of side quests, and, you know, that's, to me, I mean, the kind of gamer I am, I like doing side quests more than the regular game half the time, so it seems like it'd be pretty fun.
Okay, cool. Loki, you bought the game, but you've barely touched it, right? What's your impressions on 15?
Yeah, because, so, I purchased the game, I had pre-ordered it, like, the week before, and the fucking PlayStation decided, oh, preload that shit. Fuck that. I'm not doing that. And so I had to manually go in there to figure out how to get it to start downloading. And I finally got the download. And it was just about the time to unlock. And it did. And it's all okay, ready to go. I'm like, cool. That was pretty fast download. Went in to play it. And, oh, sorry, it's not fully fucking downloaded yet. But hey, you can play this endless battle mode or something like that. So that's what I did. It was basically that demo area. And you just run around and kill goblins. And I did that for about 5 minutes. I got bored, and I'm like, I'm just going to play Skyrim while this downloads. And then, unfortunately, that was the last I checked of it. But so I do like the new battle system a little bit better than what it was in the demo previously. I still don't understand if there's a better way to switch weapons between, because before it used to be really easy to switch weapons and combo that stuff. But it was, like, cumbersome to fight, and then now it's easier to fight, but it's cumbersome to switch weapons.
You mean just hitting the D-pad to switch weapons?
Yeah, but, like, doesn't have the same flow to it. Like,
okay, like, with it, the face you feel that break in the rhythm when you do it.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay, that's
so, it's just, it doesn't feel the same, but I like it. I mean, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't hate the combat as much as I thought I would based on the demo. They really did clean it up from that demo.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised myself. I thought I would only be able to play the wait mode, but I've been playing the normal battle.
Yeah, I tried wait mode, but like I wasn't really waiting a whole ton. It was, and even the wait mode, you can't like wait forever because there is a bar that ticks down. So I don't know. But it was all right. I just haven't gotten to play it. And it's unfortunate because, and oversharing time, it's because of family drama. Because this goes all the way back to Thanksgiving, but apparently my sister and her husband are going through a thing. And oh,
I didn't realize you were going to air this on air.
I'm going to get dragged into it. And so, like, last right. night, I was all ready because my wife had gone out with her friend. I put the kids to bed, or I was about to put the kids to bed. I'm like, cool. I'm going to finally get some time, get, like, a few hours to play Final Fantasy 15.
You sure you want to bring all the listeners into it, too?
Yeah, sure, why not? Because I don't care. And so, like, as soon as, like, I'm, you know, about ready to do that, my wife comes home. I'm like, man, you're home early. You know, what are you doing home early? And And she's like, oh, you need to go over, you know, to your mom's house or something. I'm like, why do I have to do that? And like, and it's like, oh, and, you know, apparently she up and took the kid and left and stuff like that. And it's just drama. And I'm like, why am I being dragged into this? I just wanted to play a fucking game. Just like on Thanksgiving, all I wanted was fucking turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy. Is that too much to ask? And I mean, like, I dragged into, like, a mediation shit. Whatever. So, long story short, yeah, and this is only going to continue on in hell. But long story short, I haven't been able to play it because my wife has been hogging the TV to play fucking Excite Truck. So,
at least she has good taste.
So I haven't had a chance to play more of it. I will get to it, though, because I do want to play it, but I haven't. I could have streamed it to my console last night to play, but I've actually been trying to do more programming in Unity, so... Yeah.
All right. Well, my thoughts are with you to get through this situation quickly.
As someone who grew up with also a tumultuous family, if they're going to be like, I'll put my business in the street, there's nothing wrong with being like, I'll put your business in the street too if you're going to drag me into it. So I'm totally not judging.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, guys. I have yet to visit chat this episode. I apologize. We're so chatty here in studio, but I do want to remind you guys we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And we do have a live chat room, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on Final Fantasy 15 as well, or Loki's drama if you want. Live.VogNetwork.com. Rageneer says, I definitely want to get Final Fantasy 15 on Steam, plus the other Final Fantasies I've been missing there. Well, buddy, you're going to be waiting a little while because they didn't release Final Fantasy 15 on Steam. They have not confirmed a PC release of this game at all. So,
did it come out on Xbox One?
It did come out on Xbox One.
Okay, so it wasn't exclusive.
There was that parody, but there is no PC release for the foreseeable future.
That means then, like, by 2020 we'll have it on
PC. Yeah, I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but it's just not happening right now. Back on the social media and all that stuff I was talking about, Dungeon Buster in chat says, yeah, I'm surprised how good a lot of the pictures are. Yeah, because what's interesting to me is that a lot of the pictures, like, there are things that didn't happen. There are things that, here's your favorite word again, there are things that plausibly could have happened on the day's journey. But the thing that gets me is that Prompto, like, takes these selfies, right? You take pictures of him and his buddies and all that stuff, and it's like, I never saw Prompto stop, gather everybody up, extend his arm, and take a picture. So the game takes some kind of liberal decisions with the way it presents the photos, because there are things that... It's this very interesting hybrid. They're not necessarily things you actually watched happen or things like that, but some of it is. But then it kind of mixes it with things that, well, these are things that happened that day to remind you about the same day, because you can save these pictures or tweet them or whatever you want to
do.
Yeah,
it reminds me, like, I've seen some online where he's, like, taking crotch shots and stuff like that. So I'm like, if that's not, like, intentional, then what the fuck, Square Enix?
Yeah, no, I think it's just – I think what happened – okay, I tweeted the crotch shot. And what happened with that, I think, is that it probably was intending to take a face picture of the Prince Noctis, while they're driving. But sometimes while you're driving, he just up and sits on the hood of the car for a little bit, like, because he's a prince. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, right? And so I think for some reason, Prompto, like, the code was like, take a face picture of Noctis. But the game didn't line that up with when Noctis is seated. So for some reason, it just took a picture of his crotch, because that's where his head would have been had he stayed in his fucking seat like you're supposed to do in a moving vehicle. But this is Final Fantasy, and I suppose magic protects them. I don't know. So
they're just giving us fan service.
I guess. I
can't wait until we have the, like, news article where some teenagers mimicking how they're driving and riding in the car and getting on a car accident and die.
Akuma in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sky, it's a game. I don't want to see my character goofying too much. You know what's interesting, though, is that's what a lot of people seem to really like about this game. You know, and I don't want to get too far back into this debate about the whole, the cast is all men, really. Yes, there are women, but they are, you know, they're not part of the main four. You have a group of four that doesn't really change, at least in the opening chapters. I'm really trying to not be spoilery here, but, you know, you guys know that debate that's been going on and all that stuff, right? But to the game's credit, and a lot of people really like this about the game, is that they're showing elements of friendship that a lot of games don't really show. You know what I mean? Like, even though, like, a lot of people say, oh, it's the bro down, ho down, there's things that are on a much, like, much deeper level than just like the bruh and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
It's like men that can have empathy and really sensitive, sweet relationships with each other and have it not be gay at all.
I don't want to say feminine men because I don't want to do, but maybe the proper thing would be men expressing femininity. But just, maybe I'm also the wrong person to state this. Maybe I need to talk to more women about
Metro.
I don't even know if that's the right word because that's a different, you know, thing. But like, it's just interesting to me. Like, Ignis will say at one part, he'll say, your button has been undone on your shirt and you need to sew that up when we get back to camp or I'm going to do it for you type of thing. And I'm like, what, is he mom? Like, what is this?
Yeah, it's like vulnerable. It's vulnerable masculinity.
Yes. Yes.
Vulnerable masculinity.
Yes.
And we need more of that in gaming. Like, it's really, like, especially in American culture, like, hard to find good portrayals of that. So I'm really glad that they're going there.
So it's interesting because, yeah, even though there is definitely a lack of women in the main, you know, group, there's not a lack of, you know, emotion and things like that and that you know, deeper level of friendship. So it's just interesting. It's very, very interesting to me. So... And a lot of people, again, give the game a lot of credit for that. Some people can do without it. Some people just want to get in there and kill things, which is fine. Okay. Alan, quickly, you've also watched the game, observed the game a little bit. What are your quick thoughts? What's your quick take on this before I get into it? Because I've spent 12 hours with it this week. I want to get into it a little.
I just love how the... you're in such an open world, like you're just running through these sprawling deserts. And of course, Final Fantasy 13 got all this hate for, oh, it gets better 35 hours in and it's Final Fantasy Corridor 13 and just run down the hallway, blah, blah, blah. And here is like, you know what? Here you go. We'll give you a waypoint, but just explore this vast BS because this is what you people want.
Interesting when you consider this game started as a 13 spinoff.
Yeah.
The whole design in that regard is like the antithesis of 13 in a way. But just interesting.
With the combat, it does look akin to Kingdom Hearts in that it's more action-based. The problem, I know that Noctis can, like, zoom around and, like warp to different enemies. But there's a certain point between him and the other three people in the party where it sort of looks like it's so frenetic that it kind of looks like just bodies flowing around and being thrown around. There's kind of a chaos that's not appealing to the combat, just from what I've seen. I don't know how it plays. So that is a bit, it's like a more of a style decision than a mechanic. I don't know, but sometimes it looks really fast paced and precise. And other times I'm like, I just see like bodies being flung around. I can barely understand what's happening, but the story, I haven't really, cause you've been doing side quests most of the time that I've been watching it. So I don't really know how the story is or what's even going on.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, there's a movie, right, that they put out on Blu-ray, and there's an anime, which, by the way, Bobby Blackwolf in our chat at live.vognetwork.com is saying, actually, if you watch the Brotherhood anime, yes, Ignis is kind of like the mom. Well, I wouldn't know that because I didn't watch the anime and I didn't watch the movie, and I was going to watch it before the game, but then it's like I waited so long to get the game, install the game and all that stuff that, you know, because I didn't get it on Monday. I had to wait till Tuesday. It's like by the time I was all set up and ready to go, like I just wanted to get in and play the damn game, and I almost was kind of like... No, if I can't enjoy the game for what it is without all that other stuff, then that's a problem. Now, for me, now I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you need to see it because it fills in all this stuff. I'm not lost. Like, I understand what's going on without it. I understand there might be, like, here's from another perspective and this other stuff that I might be missing out on. But I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything by not having seen that. I really don't. But maybe after I go back and watch it, I'll be like, yeah, you guys need to watch that before you play the game. But I'm still kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that.
BioWare has taken on a really nasty habit. It was really bad with Dragon Age Inquisition, which I had a lot of problems with. And that technically, no, you didn't need to read the supplemental lore. But there was so much of it, especially with Empress Selene and that whole storyline where you go to her ball. A lot of the characters that you interact with that only have one or two lines of dialogue are major players in the novel, and you would know who the fuck they were if you had read the book. Otherwise, you're like, why do I care who this dipshit is and why he's talking to me? And then you read the book, and it's like, oh, they were a major player. Like, it's just all this stuff where there are parts of the game that really go over your head unless you've read the supplemental information. My point being, I hope this is not a trend.
Well, the game, I will say this, the game does hit the ground running. You know what I mean? Like, the plot hits the ground running. But I kind of was able to fill in the gaps, I think, maybe just based on maybe, I don't know, what previews I've seen online and all this stuff. But maybe that's part of it, is that you're not going to be ready to hit the ground running with the game without maybe some of the setup. I don't know, just depending on how you play games, I suppose. But anyway, it's funny you brought up Dragon Age Inquisition, because honestly, my gut tells me, my gut thought on the game after spending 12 hours with it this week, which I know is nothing compared to some people, but for me, the guy that like can't stick with one game for very long, like Alan, this is an anomaly, right? How much I played this game this week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like
I was gonna say, it's not so much how much you play in a week, but whether or not you finish it. Mm-hmm. That's really, because you played the hell out of No Man's Sky that first week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Which is funny, because I played it again this week, but I'll talk a little more about that in game movies. But as far as the Dragon Age Inquisition, I feel like this game is Square Enix's version of Dragon Age Inquisition. And that's the best way I can describe this game and what's weird about it. And that's not a bad thing. I love Dragon Age Inquisition, but I just, like, this game feels like Square's version of Dragon Age Inquisition. Like, it's insert Final Fantasy into Dragon Age Inquisition.
You know, the combat actually kind of reminded me a bit of Tales of Symphonia, except in 3D.
Yeah, not the combat literally, but part like the open worldness definitely reminded me of that Hinterlands thing and all that.
And the side quests everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere side quests.
And even some of I don't know, there's just a lot about it that really reminds me of my time with Dragon Age Inquisition. So I know people are not going to agree with me on that, but that's my thought. So it's like this game feels like Kingdom Hearts mixed with Dragon Age Inquisition. But do you know what game I left out of my comparison there?
What?
Any other Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing about this Final Fantasy game, is that I can sit here and say, it's a good game. Actually, it's a great game. It's a wonderful game. Does it have flaws? Of course it has flaws. A lot of great games do. It's a great game. It's really not Final Fantasy.
It's so outrageously a side story game.
This is not a Final Fantasy
game.
It's
a Gaiden or whatever that was made a blue chip property.
I am telling you, and this is so funny to me that people will not play 11 or 14 because they're MMOs. And I get that. I understand that. A monthly fee on top of the regular fee, that's a lot to ask for. But I'm telling you, having played the plots in the game, 14 is way more a Final Fantasy game. 11 is way more a Final Fantasy game than 15.
I could see that.
Like,
14 does feel like Final Fantasy. Absolutely.
Where's the White Mage? Just a lot of weird stuff about this game. Again, I think the game's great, but it's very, very apparent this was a spin-off game that got injected into the mainline game to recoup the costs. And so, again, I don't think that's going to hurt anything in the long run. And in the meantime, I'm sure, I haven't looked at chat yet, but I'm sure people will say, Rob, things are going to evolve, things are going to change and so forth. But I just feel there's also a lot of people that have really pushed back on some of these changes. Like, I think a lot of people haven't been big fans of 13 or 12 because combat has slowly shifted away from the active time.
Well, they haven't. Yeah, they haven't had ATB since 10.
Yeah. And so we write off 11 and 14 because they're MMOs. ATB is not going to work. But 12 and 13 had very different types of battle systems. And then 12 had that disadvantage of it came out at a really bad time right before the new consoles came
out. Or PS3 was already out.
Yeah, a lot of people really skipped it. And then 13 had all that, the story is BS, which I feel isn't true if you stick with it long enough, but I understand why people hate it. And the whole hallway stuff, so I think a lot of people were apprehensive to looking at 13. So it's weird to me that you play this game and the very first thing you see is a Final Fantasy for longtime fans and first-timers. And I'm like, really? Because this is nothing like the other games. Nothing.
Yeah, it had very little to do with the classic style.
I understand. Yes, they put the classic soundtracks in it. It's cute as hell. They have the little sprites. They have throwbacks.
Their car has a chocobo decal on it.
Right? There's a guy named Sid. Okay, I understand all that. But there's just... It's more a spin-off game. It's more Final Fantasy X-2. It's more Final Fantasy Type-0. It's more that than it is a mainline game to me. I feel more Final Fantasy in 14, which many of you have written off because of the monthly fee, I understand, than I feel in 15. Okay, now all that aside, again, I think the game's great because, if I can just take that hat off and go, okay, this isn't really the Final Fantasy I thought it was going to be, but just as a game, there's a lot to explore. It's gorgeous. The battle system, although at first, again, because I'm putting my Final Fantasy hat on, I'm like, this battle system, is such a huge departure. It sucks. It's Kingdom Hearts. But once I kind of let that go and I take that hat off, I'm like, actually, this is kind of a lot of fun. It's kind of fun to go from the warp points to another, and I am playing it live. I'm playing on the non-wait mode. I'm playing a normal mode. It's kind of fun to like bounce around and you know, kind of using your heals a different way by using, you know, like Ignis's ability to regroup everybody. And the death system is interesting, where you don't actually die, but you lose HP until somebody revives you, and then, you know, only if all that goes to zero do you actually die. Like, there's actually nuances about the combat system, and like, actually, this is kind of fun to play. So I'm enjoying it in that regard. Side quests, they lack a little bit of character to me, but so do side quests in like MMOs and stuff, and so do side quests in Dragon Age Inquisition or any other game. And there's always going to be fetch quests that's like, I need this. Why? I just need it. Go get it.
Yeah, there's only really certain ways you can do a side quest. Or like whenever, you know, an MMO comes out and people say, oh, this is just like WoW with a different coat of paint on it. It's like, well, yes, because WoW found the methods that you can do this in an online game and have it work. So you can't really escape that formula. So like side quests are always going to be kill 10 deer. Bring me 5 frogs.
Yeah.
Bring me 5 frogs of a different
which
color.
Which is literally, you quoted that because it's literally a quest I was doing the other
day. Yeah, go to the lake and find me frogs, and they could be anywhere.
Let's see. ActDeft is asking, is Final Fantasy 15 on the PlayStation 4 Pro worth it? Not yet, because the patch that does the frame rate updates, I think, is out this next week. It's not out right now. But the game looks gorgeous as it is. And I understand there's 2 different graphics modes, and I'm on the light mode because they say light will give you better performance, and I'm more for better frame rate than I am for the picture. But I think even on light, it looks gorgeous. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous game, with varying sceneries. Yes, you start in the desert and you're in the desert for a little while, but you leave that and you go to other areas that look really, really pretty. So, you know, and Final Fantasy games, that has always been a strength of theirs. Square Enix knows how to push the graphic limitations of the systems they're developing for. They've done this ever since the original Final Fantasy, really. It's no different in Final Fantasy 15. I'm loving that. Soundtrack is gorgeous. Yes, you can listen to soundtracks from other games, but I kind of do that in the car. But the battle theme I just had happen, which was a new battle theme because I think I was in a newer area, was awesome. Like, and I'm liking discovering things like that. So anyway, I could go on and on, but at the end of the day, I do think the game is interesting. I want to wait to talk about the story because I'm only on chapter 3, yet my characters are level 28 because I can't stop doing side quests. But is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I think that just shows I'm kind of into what's going on. And I think, again, part of the relationship unfolding and seeing all of that and how the characters interact with each other, you know, while there are some stock lines where I kind of go, stop saying that. You say that every time we do something, stop saying that. There's other things that you kind of discover, like as you move on, that are really cool. Like those car rides are like, because if you want to go from one area to another, you can get in the car and you can have Ignis drive the car. I don't like to do the driving because I'll flip the car over a cliff. So I usually let Ignis do the driving. So he drives. And so literally you are just sitting there waiting. It's like flight points in an MMO. You're sitting there waiting for your car to go from one point to the other. Now, they sweeten the pot a little bit because you can listen to classic soundtracks. You can use the shop while you're in the car going. There's like a base shop, like the internet or something you can do. But sometimes you want to pay attention because Prompto might speak up and say, hey, I want to go down there and get a picture. Let's go do that. And there's something about that that makes the game, like it kind of elevates the immersion for me that I really enjoy about that.
Where you go, yeah, go ahead. Go on down there. We'll meet you.
And then keep driving.
Hit the gas. Dumbass.
Dumbass. No, I you can't do that, but I just...
But that's what bros do.
That's true. But these guys are more sensitive bros. They're not gonna do that to each other. So, anyway.
I almost said that to my son the other day.
What did you say?
I'm like, because I was parked too far in my driveway, too far to the right, and I wanted to straighten the car out. And so I'm all, just go by the front door so that, you know, you're not in the way of the car, and I'm just going to straighten the car. And I backed out, and I told my other son, I'm like, okay, well, let's leave him here. And he comes looking out, and he's like, Are you leaving me?
All right.
Yes, I am.
Chatters, if you've played 15, what are your thoughts? Live.vognetwork.com. Try to keep them tweet size. I want to read your thoughts real quick here on those of you that have spent some time with the game. Dungeon Buster says, too many side quests is never a bad thing, Sky. Whenever an open world game allows me to cut free from the main story, it's off I go to become a walking god before coming back to it and steamroll the next few bosses. Yes, me too. And to be fair, it is a very Final Fantasy way for me to play games, is to power level the crap out of my characters, and then you go back and you can kill the boss easy peasy. Like, and that I've always done that in Final Fantasy games. So this game kind of lets you still do that, but in a different way.
I mean, how come in Final Fantasy games you will do all the side quests for the XP and gil, but in a Pokemon game you have to keep the story moving? You can't linger or else it will drive you insane and you'll put the game down. How is that different?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
In Final Fantasy, you'll do all the side quests and not necessarily go to a new location or major plot point in the main story because you're doing side quests. But when you're playing a game like Pokemon, you catch what you can and keep it moving, because if you like, oh, I want to catch this, this, and this and grind my Pokemon to this, this, and this, like, you can't play the game that way.
Well, easy. There must not be that enjoyable.
Like, I just see it's a different style. I know it's a different style of game, but
it is.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know if I can put my finger on what it is. Like, I think maybe with Pokemon, they don't track as easily. That's one big thing.
That's what the Pokedex is for.
No, I'm not talking about necessarily that. I'm talking about, like, the actual side quests and things like that. Like, you kind of have to remember, like, what you're doing, and that can sometimes be a bear. Whereas, like, when you're tracking in a game like Dragon Age or Final Fantasy, you see everything. You see your agenda and your list.
You have a quest journal.
Exactly. And you know my memory is crap. So I think that makes it a little... Actually, that system you mentioned, if that came to Pokemon, I would love that. I would really, really love that. But it's not. So it is what it is.
I know some of the older Final Fantasy games have a bunch of side quests, and some of them are missable. Like, if you don't do this at this point in the story, you don't get to do it at all. So that's, you know...
Hey, you know that character you wanted to be in your party? Well, right. You missed him.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Going to a chat again over at live.vognetwork.com and looking for some comments here. Dungeon Buster says, I love it when a game lets you explore, though. I'm a sucker for poking around and seeing if there might be something cool hidden in a forgotten corner. In the first dungeon, I didn't want to leave when the quest was done because I wanted to keep exploring what might be behind those locked doors or the next cave. Anyway, I want to go to the Skype line real quick, a little bit out of character, but I'm getting a phone call because somebody's listening in his car who always, and this happens all the time. Of course, he feels very opposite how I do on this game. So he said, you need to let me call in. So I'm doing it. Welcome to the show, everybody. Live from his car, Shane.
Live from the Del Taco, like, drive-thru, basically.
All right. You're a little quiet, so just make sure you're speaking into the speaker.
Is that better?
I guess. What are your thoughts on Final Fantasy 15?
I'm ready to trade it in because it's not fun.
Why? I need more whys. Why aren't you enjoying the game?
Okay, let me preface this with, I'm about, I think last count said like 16 or 17 hours, and I am at the end of chapter 7, I think. And one, there's no story still. I'm bored out of my mind. I don't like the combat. The characters aren't interesting. I don't think it particularly looks good as a PS4 game. And it's just like a piece of crap. I think that pretty much sums it up.
A piece of crap, really? Like, I can understand.
For a game that has been 10 years in the making, I think I hold like garbage games like No Man's Sky in higher regard. Like, I tried to like this game. I'm still trying to power through it just to say I beat it. But I am not having a good time. And it feels like you're supposed to already understand everything that's going on in the game, but they never tell you anything.
Did you watch the movie or the anime or any of that?
First of all, if you're supposed to watch all this extra media to understand the story for a game, there's something wrong with your game.
I'll agree with that.
But I did watch Kingsglaive, which actually was pretty good. I liked that movie. I didn't watch the anime, though.
Huh.
But the combat never gets fun. All I do is, like, so I ride my chocobo around, which is, you know, kind of okay. But if I'm doing anything else, I turn on my... At one point, you get an MP3 player, like the music in your car. I just put on Final Fantasy XI music because the music in this game is so forgettable.
I, I completely disagree. There's the battle songs when you're doing the quest for going out to get the cargo in the car and you get to this newer area. Like, that battle song is amazing.
I don't agree at all.
I was going to say Zeba in chat and Act Deft as well are both saying in unison to you saying you don't like the game. Why? And they both said it's not Pokemon.
That's not true because I play other games that aren't Pokemon. Granted, I have over 100 hours in Pokemon Moon already. But no, the game, it's just, it feels very lifeless and hollow, like kind of like a cash grab.
The interactions between the characters do nothing for you. You don't
the characters endearing. Like, Prompto is sometimes kind of funny, but usually annoying. I'm sick of Ignis figuring out recipes to cook because he can only say the one line whenever he figures it out. And Gladio is, I didn't even care for. Noctis is okay. Noctis I'm actually okay with as a character. He needs a better supporting cast, though.
But what about that whole, like, brotherly friendship they show in the game that, like, I don't know if I've ever seen in a video game before?
They just seem like party members to me. Like, they kind of goof around, I guess. But it's like the dialogue and the, like, relationships they have, I expect in games now. It's like, maybe it's novel for Final Fantasy, but I don't feel it's novel for other games I've played and have done much better.
All right, as like, there's just things, like, I'm sitting here going, I just don't get it when Shane says, but like, with the graphics and all that stuff, like, I just don't get how you can think this is an ugly game.
I don't think it's ugly. I'm not wowed by the graphics. I think there are other PS4 games that look much, much, much better. They clearly only spent time on the character models for, like, the main characters. All the NPCs, like, there's four different NPCs, basically, the entire game. And I think Final Fantasy X, like, all of these came from there, and they slightly up-res their mods.
I don't know. I think they spent quite a bit of time on Sydney.
Okay, well, no, see, she's like a main character. I hate her. She is terrible, by the way.
She is not a good, and they kind of pushed her in the previews and stuff. It's like, look, we have a female character in the game, and it's like, that's not helping.
Her character is awful.
Yeah, I agree. Her character
has to breathe through her skin. That's why she's naked.
Yeah, I was about to make a quiet joke too.
Here's the thing, and I don't want to be spoilery. There are other women they're not showing. That's all I'm going to say. But to be fair, nobody plays at that level that the four main dudes do. So no. Anyway, I just leave it at that.
But let me just say, if you're playing this game and you expect the story to pick up, it has not, and I'm in chapter 7, which I hear there's only like 10 chapters in the game.
Okay.
So I still feel like nothing has happened.
Okay, I do want to move on from 15 because there's been a lot of news this week, but I got a couple other quick questions for you. First off, I love this comment from chat. This is perfect. Alan, get ready to laugh. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, SSU100 Matt in chat says, if Shane was a dentist, he would be that one dentist out of the 9 of 10 that wouldn't recommend the toothbrush or toothpaste.
If it was blue, I would.
That's like the perfect, like just,
hey, Shane, you want to try it? And don't get me started.
That's the thing. I don't get it. Like, people, like, because I've posted on Twitter my thoughts, and I've had these arguments. I'm like, why is it wrong for me to not like this game?
No, you're welcome to your opinion. I'm trying to understand it because I so don't get it. Like, but this is not the first time you and I
have had this
conversation about a video game.
You're going to have issues with people thinking that your rationality or your rationale is not relatable. That's really, I think, the issue.
Which is fine because I don't think everybody likes everything I like, but when I've put so much time, when there's only supposed to be 10 chapters and I'm about to finish 7, I think I have a pretty good grasp on the systems and everything that I feel like I can say, hey, you know what? Holding down the circle button isn't a really fun way to play a game.
But at least there's one thing we can all agree on is that new design of Alpha 5 is fucking terrible.
If they got rid of his eyes, I'd be okay with it. Those little eye things are weird, though.
All right. I want to ask you this, too, because early on, you know, one of the things I said about the game is that it doesn't feel like Final Fantasy at all to me. Do you agree with me on that, or what are your thoughts on that conversation?
It doesn't feel like one at all. And, like, I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Final Fantasy fan, but I tend to like a lot of them. I think there's only a few I've played that I didn't really care for, and this one included. But I think it falls under Final Fantasy because there's chocobos, and there's a Cid, and there's a Crystal. There you go. I think that's really it. Otherwise, this could be generic open world Japanese game number one.
But are there Mogs? Because there has to be Mogs in order to be.
I hear there are.
There are.
I haven't seen a single one.
There are, because somebody spoiled it in a GIF on Tumblr, so that's all I'm going to say. What did you think when I called it the Japanese Dragon Age Inquisition?
I think that's really mean to Inquisition.
But if I remember right, that was also a game you were really excited for, and then you also didn't care for at the end of the day. Or was that? Am I confused?
No, I liked it. I never beat it.
Maybe I'm confusing that with Alan. Alan felt more negative about that than you did, maybe.
No, I think the problem with Inquisition was that like the first place they sent you to was so massive, and you just wanted to stay there forever. Here, I want to get out of every area as fast as I can because they're pretty bland.
All right. I do want to move on with the show. Where every gamer has a voice, Shane, thank you for expressing your opinion, even though, like, honestly, I don't get it. But I still, you know, I wouldn't be friends with you if I didn't respect your opinion. So
see if you feel the same way once you get to where I'm at, if it's picked up for you.
And
if
you know
somebody
what?
Could tell me where it's fun at, maybe I would have more fun.
And
I just haven't found it yet.
You know what? And I do kind of preface everything I've been saying tonight, and I said that at the beginning, that's why I told you guys. I've played 12 hours. I'm only on Chapter 3, but I'm doing all the side quest stuff because I do want to reserve that right that, you know, when I play more of the story might end up being really bad. I'm into it so far. But maybe it will take a dive. And if it does, I'll come back on next week and tell you guys I changed my mind on some things. That happens with games sometimes, right? Hating Mass Effect at first, but then playing
Mass Effect 1 was garbage until I...
Playing it the second time, you're like, oh my god, I was so wrong about this.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Shane, what's your Pokédex and Sun and Moon up to?
100%.
100%. Congrats. Yep. How many shinies?
Zero. I have
what?
Like 700 Rockruffs at this point. Like, I don't think they exist anymore because I've murdered them all trying to get a shiny.
All right. Well, I can at least agree with you that Sun and Moon is probably the best Pokemon game, but SOS battles ruin it.
Oh, nope. They're awesome. You can prevent them.
SOS battles are the worst. The worst thing that's ever happened to the Pokemon franchise.
No.
They're a pretty annoying mechanic. Yeah.
All right. Shane, I'm going to let you go so we can move on with the show. But
all right,
calling.
I'm going to go eat. Bye.
Bye. All right. Shane from Ranger Pride and Pokestop Podcast, both on the VOG Network, VOGNetwork.com. All right. I want to get into other stuff we played in our gaming weeks, but I do want to say, if you guys have further thoughts on Final Fantasy 15, I'd really love to hear them over in our mailbag. Participate at orangeloungerator.com. We'll read some of those next week, but I do want to move on. Let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks outside of 15, the other games we've been playing this week. Loki, why don't you start? What have you been playing?
I played Skyrim, the remastered whatever. So I played that because, you know, my Final Fantasy 15 wasn't downloaded in time, so I'm still enjoying that quite a bit, especially with mods now. It's really nice on console. It kind of sucks I can't earn trophies still, but whatever, I don't care. I mean, it's all about going through the game endlessly. So yeah, I'm enjoying that. What else did I play? I played Excitruck a bit because we set that up so that my wife can play it, and I apparently am still good at it, so that's pretty good. More Ingress. I played a little bit of Pokemon, like literally like a minute of Pokemon just here because
Pokemon Go,
yeah,
because we have the Pikachus here all the time.
Yeah, I didn't catch a Pikachu. I caught a Mankey and a Ekans.
Check again in 30 minutes. Like Pikachu, there's always a Pikachu up here somewhere.
I have no motivation to play that game anymore. Even Ditto, it's not even motivating enough for me to play that. So I mean, I don't know. I keep it on there just for the hell of it, but I really don't play it anymore. And then what else? That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, like I said, I've been working in Unity, trying to make stuff. You know, I have, you know, I've been learning UNet, so doing networking and stuff like that. So kind of got a little bit of understanding of that, which is nice. And I'm just going to work on some concepts I have just to get a little bit more non-rusty again, and then go back into, you know, what I was going to work on originally. So we'll see. We'll see what I work on. I'm just kind of playing around with it right now.
All right. If that's it for your gaming week, let me move over to JD, talk a little bit about his gaming week. You've been playing, I noticed you've been playing a lot of Pokemon.
I have been,
because
yeah.
we actually did a little trading in Sun and Moon. You gave me a couple more Pokemon.
I did.
Yep. And then you said something about the whole fact that you want to trade with more people because the numbers go into the lottery, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a thing since Gen 2. There's an in-game lottery that you... it's like once a day in this game, and it's based on the ID number of the original trainer of the Pokemon. So the more people you trade with, the better your odds of getting the top prize are. So, you know, the more people you trade with, it's good.
But you've been enjoying Sun and Moon a lot, right?
I've been playing, yeah, like 85 hours worth of it.
Wow, that's impressive. But yet you now, and what's interesting to me, you are only on Island 3.
I just got to Island 4 today.
85 hours in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've spent a lot of time looking for Pokedex completion, basically.
Because you're doing the side quest thing.
Yeah.
That he just, that Alan, I say he, I'm pointing at Alan. And Alan just said, how come you don't do this with Pokemon? You're doing that.
I mean, for me, it's pretty finite. Like, I know which ones I'm missing because it shows me in a grid, like, where, you know, you've caught this one, you have seen this one, you haven't seen that one.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to explore. I mean, I've also been looking at Serebii to see what the percentage rates are, because sometimes I'm just like, oh, there's a 1% chance. Yeah, I'm going to come back to that. Mm. I might get it in Wonder Trade.
We mentioned at the top of the show you had been to Round 1 recently, and I know you're a big music game fan, so you probably got to play a lot for the first time, right?
There was a good number, yeah. I played Sound Vortex, which I couldn't hear at all because it was really noisy in Round 1 because it was a Friday night in a mall. And I've learned that you need to bring headphones to an arcade if you want to play music games, because that's a thing now. There was Sound Vortex, we played Groove Coaster, Music Gun Gun, which is like a shooter music game, which I was kind of reserved about because I don't like shooters, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah, but it's shooter like point blank shooter. It's not shooter like
I have terrible aim. Terrible.
I don't know. Like, see, I don't play shooter in the context of like first person shooters, but I love me some point blank. It's like carnival games.
Like, the only shooter game I like is Portal. And that's, like, about as far as I'll go.
Which some people would say is not a shooter. I'm with you. It is...
You're pointing a gun and firing portals.
I get it. It's a
thinking shooter. First-person puzzle game.
Yeah, it's a thinking shooter game. But anyway.
There is also Hit the Beat, which is a Ticket Redemption game, but it's made by Pump It Up. So they had Beethoven Virus and Seacoast Post. And I was like, I'm playing Whack-A-Mole with Pump It Up songs. It was hilarious. And then I played DDR Ace, which was the first time I'd played that. Because I've never been to Round 1. This is the first time, so.
Yeah. How'd you like Ace compared to other DDR games?
So I played for one round because there was a line of people and it was getting late. Honestly, I didn't really look at it all that much because I was playing with somebody else, so I only chose half the songs. But, like, the cabinet was really good. Like, I could tell a difference. Like, the pads were responsive. And it's kind of sad that that's the standard because a lot of machines are not kept up very well.
For me, just in a nutshell, Ace really feels like a step up for the series that I haven't really felt in DDR since, like, maybe Supernova. And a lot of Supernova was just the fact that, oh, we finally have a DDR game after a, you know, multi-year break.
Right. Right. Like, Supernova was like, oh, look, we're going international for the first time.
Yeah, Supernova wasn't really that different from Extreme, all things considered. It really, really wasn't. Like, the interface was still the same and all that stuff. But, like, Ace really feels like a step up in a way that the franchise hasn't seen in a while. And yet, I'm even counting that 2014 release or whatever it was.
I was gonna say, what came before Ace? Like, I know X3 versus Second Remix was like around, but was there one in between
the X series? And then there was the 2014 game.
Okay,
I think they just call it DDR 2014.
I don't even know if that came over here very much. Like, I couldn't find it.
I only ever saw it at one of those like a convention.
Yeah.
Does DNB have Ace now, or
I haven't been?
Because I thought that they were getting those machines. I have to go over there.
Maybe.
Yep. So I got a 3DS for Pokemon, basically, and then I've been basically spending all my free time doing that. So.
All right. Anything else you've been playing you want to mention real quick before we move on?
I've been playing Pokemon Go. Part of my work commute involves walking, so it's basically something I can do, and it works out pretty well. There's a good synergy there. And I've actually been playing Miitomo because now that I have a 3DS, I have something to spend the coins on, which made, like, a world of difference.
Dr. Tetsuya says that DMB does have Ace.
Well, there you go. I had no idea. So, good to know. We'll have to go over there and check it out at some point. If that's it for your gaming week, JD, let's talk to Alan. How was your gaming week?
Good. Oh, I just wanted to add, though, when we went to round one, their Beatmania machine was... Oh. 2DX was off and had been off for like a week.
Why, I was so happy I made the decision not to go over there after I'd already had a long day, because I would have been so mad if that had been off, like the one game I'd want to play more than anything.
And they didn't have a sign up saying out of order, so we're like, can you turn on the 2DX machine? What's going on? And I guess the reply was, it's on order. There's only certain techs that can work on it. Like, it's been a week. We know.
Go away.
Yeah.
Well, how was your gaming week? What else did you play?
I've been playing lots of Skyrim and now Morrowind. The reason why I never really got into Morrowind before is that I never played a lot of the really down and dirty, like AD&D, like Ravenloft, like some of the really not beginner-friendly Dungeons & Dragons games that came out on PC, and I think Elder Scrolls originally came from that school where, like, there's a barter system. If you level up in a really weird way, you have to spend your skill points very carefully, because if you put it in stuff that isn't combat-based, you'll die. And, like, it was just all really overwhelming. I didn't know what to do, and now I've just finally... I have the strategy guide that's almost, like, new for Morrowind that I got out of the cat's room. I realized, like, oh, I can play this. So I'm a couple hours in now. I was playing Overwatch for a bit. Season 2 ended.
Season 3 started.
Season 3 started, like, a week ago, I think, and I haven't done any of my eval matches. And it's funny that you're, like, still level 18 or 19 on PC.
On PC, and now I'm catching up on PS4.
Yeah. So you're never going to really do the ranked seasons.
Never say never.
Because I know, like, in Diablo, you always wanted to... Except we've each had two or three seasons go by, though, on Diablo 3, where we haven't played. That's really it, though. And then, of course, I did do a Mortal Kombat 9 story run, and then I was playing X, but now I just watch, like, a Let's Player or a YouTuber that plays X, Mortal Kombat X, and I just watch what he does. Because I know I can't perform juggle combos like that.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week.
Yeah, that's it. We're running long, so I'll keep it brief.
That's fine. My gaming week, and I really don't have a lot to say, because Final Fantasy 15 really took up a lot of my week. The one other thing I will mention is that Monday night, after last week's OLR, but before I had my copy of 14, I did check out No Man's Sky because of the
15.
Patch. Sorry, yeah. Well, I still do play Final Fantasy 14.
I understand, I know.
I don't talk about it every week, but it is the MMO of choice. But I certainly haven't been playing that as much. And I think even my free company, like, just hasn't been as active. Which, you know, of course, a lot of people playing 14 are Final Fantasy fans. So, of course, everybody's checking out the new game. So, you know, it's logical. But anyway, but I did play No Man's Sky on Monday night. And because they did that patch, and I was really curious about, okay, well, yeah, does this, you know, fix some of the problems I had with it? And so the first thing I did was fire up creative mode. So when you go into the game now, there's a new menu you didn't have before that says pick the game you want to play. Do you want to do normal? And it actually shows, here's your last normal save. Do you want to do creative? Here's your last creative save. So it's now you kind of juggling three separate games. So the first thing I did was went into creative mode just to kind of see what I could do. And I have to admit, like, they did change a lot just on an interface level. Like, especially with the fact that creative mode, you just, like, you can build whatever you want and it doesn't subtract resources. That's what creative mode is. But it really now gives you the sense, like, oh, you can really see, like, what all the options are. And wow, they really did add a lot of different stuff. Like, now you can put little beacons on the planet to leave messages behind for other players. Like, this is Dark Souls or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so if I want to... So, but the thing is, I haven't run into somebody else's beacon enough because I didn't play that much. But, like, is it going to show, like, oh, there's a beacon on this planet, you should go get it. And then you go and you find the beacon, you land, you find it, and then you activate the beacon and it says poop fart. Like, oh, wow, I wasted all that fuel to come find this beacon that says poop fart.
Honestly, it would probably be just about as important as all the other story stuff that they have in there. So, I mean...
Yes. Little did you
they
know,
should have new words that you can learn. They should have it where you can put those, like, word rune things. It's like, you learn the word for dick butt. You know? It's like...
But anyway, but I also played around with the base building stuff. And so they put in this whole new, like, quest thing. So, like, you can build the base, and it's kind of on a grid system. You know, you pick, like, you don't see it on a grid, but you can kind of tell, like, that's how it's, like, you choose, like, everything is a perfect little square, and what goes here, what goes here, you know, that type of thing. But I like that it was like, okay, now that you've built a terminal, you need to go find somebody to staff this terminal. So you got to blast off into space, find the dude, you know, come back to your base. So it seems like there's this whole quest around it. So the patch that the game got is substantial, and I didn't even really have enough time to explore it in one night. But, you know, I know people have aired their grievances with this game and so on. I thought this patch was very interesting. The one thing I didn't get to figure out with creative mode is, did it remove the sentinels? Because it's telling me that the planet is still, like, the sentries were normal, I think, on this planet that I started on. But I never saw a sentry. But then again, I also wasn't farming the planet because you don't have to. It's creative mode.
Yeah, also in the original game, the sentries weren't really an issue unless you were on a planet that had really rare commodities on the ground, like the pearls and the weird things, where if you find the right galaxy that has the economy for it, you could sell it for like 2.5 or 3 times the price. That's how I made all of my units.
Tiger Claw in chat asks, if this patch was released on day one of this game, would the game still have received the same reception as gotten prior to it?
Yes.
Yes, it would have, because some of the biggest problems about the game were the PC issues that jammed it up the first day, which
it didn't even run until like a week after release.
Yeah, this patch didn't really do anything with that because that's already been fixed in progressive patches. And then
some of the inventory stuff would have been less frustrating though because of stacking.
I think maybe some of the grievances would have changed, but you know, gamershateeverything.com, there was still going to be complaints somewhere. So, but I'm not poo-pooing the complaints. Like, I understand that people felt certain things were promised and that, you know, they underdelivered. Does this address all of the issues? No. Does it address some of the issues? Yes.
I would say maybe.
Okay. I'll meet you halfway.
I haven't really read too much about it because, LOL, I don't care that much, but I guess there are some people in the community, most by which I mean Reddit, that are, like, deeply offended by this patch. Like, you guys don't say a damn thing for 5 months, then you put out this content that you never even, like, gave us a sneak preview of. Why should I care about this? Or how dare you?
I see that part way because I know, and I've been critical of Hello Games, you know, through this whole ordeal, is that you need to say something. You need to do so. You need to reassure your customer base. You're working on it. You need to say something. But I do understand. I also, at the same time, understand the perspective of they probably feel like they can't say anything without the entire internet screaming at them.
Yeah, so why anything?
So why say anything at all?
Yeah.
So in a way, I get it, but I still sort of feel like, okay, you know what? Say something and then don't look at your notifications. Just, like, seriously.
So the issue I have with the base, and I know, I guess you can build a teleporter to warp back to it, but the original game, when it came out, because of their randomly generated universe that is so massive, like, it'll never be 100% explored, which, yeah, right. The way that the original game played was that they always wanted you to keep it moving, explore new planets and galaxies at the expense of everything else. You can't make your way back to a planet that you visited. You name it and you move on. Keep going. Explore. So now that they're setting up things where you have like a base, like before in the previous game, you couldn't even record and set a waypoint for a station that you had found on the planet that you're still currently on from 4 hours back. Now you're on the other side of the planet and you're like, I need to sell the stuff I have. I can't find a shop. Where's that shop I went to a couple hours ago? You can't find it because it's like, no, just leave the planet and find a new one then. So I just don't understand how they can put in these new centralized features when the original game had problems where you couldn't even tell where you had been. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. It was always a little weird in that regard. But I do think the patch is worth looking at if you are still have somewhat of a retained interest in No Man's Sky. But I also understand, you know, and I think another follow-up question in our chat, Tiger Claw says, does this patch change people's perception? I don't know, because I think a lot of people just moved on to the next hot game of the minute, which right now is Final Fantasy 15, Pokemon Sun or Moon, back to Overwatch, just depending on what your community is and the gamers you play with. I think a lot of people have just moved on to the next hot game of the minute.
When we were at Fry's this weekend in the PS4 section, they had No Man's Sky, and it was like think of like a bookshelf, and the amount of layers, like how thick the amount of copies were, is where if you put one more, it would have fallen off the shelf because that's how dense it was, and it was like $39.99. And I was like, that's still too much. I imagine if you go to GameStop and look in the used section, they're probably like $2
I thought there were Black Friday deals for $19.99 at this point.
So it was funny that all of the other games just had one or two copies each, but No Man's Sky specifically, they had like one chunky stack of 15 and another chunky stack of 15 that look totally disproportionate to all the other games, and it's like a game that's like 3 or 4 months old. It's like $40 was $69.
I'm going to be extremely interested. Like, I really hope somebody is filming Hello Games right now. Like, this documentary, like, if somebody was making a documentary on Hello Games throughout this whole ordeal, like, I would love to see that in 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody was, like, documenting this from the inside, which I don't think is happening, but I'm just saying, if it was for whatever reason, like, oh my God, this would be so fascinating to me. Like, I really want to see the post-mortem on No Man's Sky from Sean Murray's mouth in 2 years. If he'll do it. I don't know. He might, for all I know, dude is going through severe mental, like, trauma because of this.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but I don't know. I you know, and I don't want to make up or try to diagnose other people when I'm not certain. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, he could be having, like, you know, really extreme reactions to a lot of this stuff on the internet. Maybe he'll never want to talk about it in 2 years. I don't know. I'm going to be so curious to see what the postmortem for this looks like in a couple years' time. Anyway, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf, interesting. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I think Sean Murray will walk away like Phil Fish did. I'm very curious. I don't want him to walk away. I don't like to see people walk away.
He'll get the game to a point where he's whatever over it, and then he'll take his marbles and go home.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe he'll say, you know what, I'm gonna do it right the next time, or I'm gonna learn from this. It kind of depends on where he's at right now. God, you know what? I gotta say, there's a lot of people I've always wanted to interview on this show. I would love to interview that guy on this show. I would love to interview that guy on the show. Respectfully, I will have a respectful dialogue with that man about everything, but I also realize we're a small fry podcast, you know.
Peter Molyneux is probably like, oh, thank God he came along. Jesus Christ. I'm so, like, I know it sucks, dude, you're a pariah, but, like, you've helped me so much with my reputation.
Right. Well, he's got that walking game now, or was it a hiking game or something like that?
Look, I thought that was Ingress. All right, we got to move on. Like an hour and 15 into the show, and we've barely touched what's going on in gaming news. And, you know, there's been a lot that's been going on this week because, you know, interestingly enough, we're at the halfway point between E3s, right? E3 is the beginning of June every year, and here we are at the beginning of December. And it does feel like we got a lot of news this week, which early December didn't used to be a part of the video gaming news cycle, but then, you know, internet happened and so on. Sony decided they were going to hold an event in December to get people talking about Sony products right around Christmas time. Genius move. So let's talk about some of the big events that have happened this week. That's kind of the news we want to start with at the top of the show. So first off, Thursday night, the Game Awards. Loki, you actually watched the Game Awards, right?
I watched most of it. Yeah.
I didn't watch it at all. I saw all the news, so I'm prepared to talk about this stuff. I watched the highlight reels and all that. But I did not watch the show because I just had something else going on. It was just on at a bad time for me. I wasn't trying to hate, just conflict.
I watched most of it. I missed the beginning or part of the beginning. So one of the things that they showed was a new trailer for Breath of the Wild, which I watched that later on. I also missed the middle because I had to put the kids to bed. But on the Breath of the Wild trailer, I mean, everyone was kind of gung-ho with it. Honestly, I could have cared less. I mean, couldn't have cared less because it was just kind of... It looked all right, but it didn't really show me anything like that I haven't seen before. Or not necessarily the trailer, I guess. The actual gameplay footage that they did.
With the treehouse guys and all that?
The treehouse guys. That was just kind of like, it was like ho-hum. Like, whatever. Like, the E3 stuff was exciting because it was like, whoa, man, well, this is really cool. And that didn't really show me anything different.
You know, that's kind of the impression I got from the footage, too, is the footage kind of made me go, okay, it looks like a Zelda game, which isn't bad. God, no. Zelda games are fantastic. But there was definitely that part of me that was kind of bracing myself for, ooh, that he keeps saying that, you know, he really likes playing Skyrim. You know, this is going to be Zelda meets Skyrim, and this is going to be a radical departure for the series and all that stuff. And that footage kind of made me go, okay, it's not going to be that much of a departure.
No, it's not. I mean, I think the big open world is sort of like Skyrim, but the one thing I really don't like is the weapon durability. That is such a terrible idea. Has there ever been a game with weapon durability? It's like, wow, this is really awesome. No one has ever said that. It's a stupid mechanic. I really don't like it. I'm not looking forward to having that in there where, oh, I'm fighting something, oh, my stupid thing broke.
The game looked great to me. I'm still on board, but I think I saw a great tweet, and I kind of stopped and went, huh, that's a very interesting observation, that said, it was not the best idea to put out this Zelda Breath of the Wild footage the day after Final Fantasy 15 hit. Because now a lot of people are looking at them side by side going, the limitations of the Wii U are showing a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But again, I don't want to sound overly shady with that comment, but I
think it's going to be a fantastic game, but yeah.
Yeah, I still think, you know, graphics, you know, you can take a hit on graphics and still have a fantastic game. And I think Zelda still will be good at the end of the day. It's just that maybe that wasn't the right time to get the hype machine going. But that's maybe out of Nintendo's control a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it was okay, I guess.
Okay.
But it wasn't all that exciting. Of course, you know, they talked, they had given awards, or the, what was it? Not a Lifetime Achievement Award, but like some sort of,
it may as well be the Lifetime Achievement Award. Same type of thing. Video Game Pioneer or something like that, they called it. Yeah.
So anyways, and they gave that to Hideo Kojima, and I think a lot of it is because he couldn't give him an award last year, and so it was kind of like...
Did you see the whole Jeff Keighley lead up to that?
Yes, I did.
Where, like, I was waiting for Jeff Keighley to open mouth kiss Hideo Kojima after that.
It seemed kind of awkward.
Yeah, well, and I expected that, and I expected him, like, as he's open mouth kissing Hideo Kojima, to have, like, a little tattoo on his hand that says, fuck Konami. Like, I was waiting for that.
Industry Icon Award, that's what it was, yeah.
Same thing, Lifetime Achievement, same thing.
And then they showed
what's that, Alan?
Kojima is only open mouth kissing one dude on the planet, and that's Norman Reedus from Walking Dead.
No, it could be two people recently.
Yeah, it's true. It could be,
so they did show the new trailer for Death Stranding, which we still don't know really what it's about. But honestly, just, you know, gauging by what we're seeing, it looks like kind of a melding of Silent Hill and Metal Gear Solid, which I think for a lot of people is like, fuck yes.
I think there's definitely, like, he's taking some of the ideas from Silent Hill and putting them in this game, but I'm sure he recognizes he has to walk a very fine line because Konami will sue if there's too many similarities. But this also huge that Guillermo del Toro is involved.
Yeah, he is involved.
Why didn't they drop that bombshell at E3?
I don't know, but he's involved, and now also they revealed that Mads Mikkelsen is involved with it as well.
Which, you know, people fucking obsess about Hannibal.
I gotta say, though,
obsess about Hannibal. Alan, you're on Tumblr, right? Tumblr, Hannibal.
Yeah.
So exactly. I am not a fan of Metal Gear Solid. I like the idea of Silent Hill, but I don't like it. But I've watched this trailer about 30 times because the music is fucking awesome. Like, the music and the atmosphere of it, I am on board with that. And I think, I don't know what the hell this game is about, but I love the way it looks. Like, I could seriously, I'm down for
but
it.
But again, I feel like we're going to go down. People are going to hate me for this comment.
No, I understand.
We need to be very careful not to go to a No Man's Sky place with this game.
But
I'm starting to feel like we're going to a No Man's Sky place with this
game. But this is Hideo Kojima.
That's fair. That's
and fair. Sean Murray. Sean Murray made, you know, a motorcycle racing game.
I accept
Hideo
that
Kojima, the pedigree. I have higher expectations for him. I feel that he will be fine.
I'm just warning everybody else, don't fucking do that to this game.
I'm not saying that, but like, I think that he can live up to that.
That's fine. There's a lot of people that would open mouth kiss Hideo Kojima at the end of the day, right?
But like, I don't know what the hell this game is about yet, and what is up with all these fetuses and everything around.
Did you see the whole conspiracy theory about what happens when you play the two trailers side by side?
No.
Oh. Mind blown. Go look at one of those series about playing the two trailers side by side.
What sort of Wizard of Oz, Dark Side of the Moon nonsense?
It is dark sided. It's that lady from Trading Spouses from like 10 years ago. The way, it's ungodly, I don't want it. It's that. Have you seen the whole thing about the two trailers?
No.
If you play the two trailers at the same time, the baby moves in between the two trailers. The baby is never in both trailers at the same time.
Okay.
No, like, there it's you have to
see. Like, it's on the left monitor, then it's on the right monitor.
Yes,
yeah.
Like, it's almost like it's intentional the way it is laid out.
And I can see them doing that, especially the way they kind of did PT and everything.
Yeah, no, I know. Again, it's one of those things where you go, like, is this all intentional, right? Like, this is a total mind fuck. Like, is there going to be a third trailer that then, you know, even does that even worse? So
Avril Lavigne was replaced with a clone.
Fuck off.
Wait, what?
It's I never knew this was a meme until he said this. I never knew this was
okay,
a meme.
Okay, so sorry. We were talking
Fuck
about...
Fuck you for bringing this up on the show. This has nothing to do with video games, yet you have to explain...
But you have piqued my interest
now. You have to explain what the fuck this is.
So, there's, like, it's kind of like the jokes where George W. Bush makes a joke about how, like, jet fuel doesn't melt steel bars and all this stuff, and Beyonce is the Illuminati. One of them is Avril Lavigne died horribly, discreetly, and was replaced with a lookalike that had plastic surgery to look like her, and that's not the real Avril Lavigne. And I guess it's I don't know if it's a 4chan or a Reddit thing, but I guess people really believe this. It's like a meme. Like, you can go to YouTube and look up Avril Lavigne imposter conspiracy and find, like, videos on it. And I was just saying, with the two trailers side by side and, like, Wizard of Oz and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, if you run them together, is it real? Is this intentional? Or are we just, like, getting, like, confirmation bias? Like, we want to see some weird shit, so we're seeing some weird shit. And I just thought it would be funny to say Avril Lavigne was replaced with a clone.
But
and then
Rob
peed his pants.
The baby moves between the two trailers. Avril Lavigne is a clone. Hillary Clinton has Parkinson's. All that.
Okay.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, Death Stranding trailer. You know, again, I'm hyped for the game, but I would like the next thing we see to be gameplay footage. But then again, if Kojima's going to keep the mind,
I have a feeling
going,
that this game
maybe
though,
he
still
get
weighs
away
off. I think this is like 2018 at least. So.
At least.
So, I mean,
okay, which comes first? You ready? Which comes first, everybody? Final Fantasy VII Remake, Kingdom Hearts 3, or Death Stranding?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Which one will we see first?
I think Kingdom Hearts 3.
All right.
Because we've seen gameplay of that.
We have seen gameplay of Kingdom Hearts 3.
I mean, technically...
We've also seen gameplay of the 7 Remake.
Yeah, but that's just tech... I mean, I think that's just assets basically thrown on top of the engine. You heard, though, that he's using... The engine that they're using for that now is the same one that's being used for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's the engine that they're using for that game.
Tiger Claw in chat says, Sky, the third Death Standing trailer will introduce Betty White. Yeah, thank you.
that would be awesome.
Oh, my God.
Film her parts now.
I would open mouth kiss Hideo Kojima if that happened. And I'm sure that man smokes a pack a day. Stoppy says, same theory as Paul McCartney being replaced. Was that a thing? So this rumor just repeats itself every generation.
I'm sure there's one for lots of people. I mean, some people think Elvis is still alive.
Oh, that's or Tupac.
Yeah.
Is the other one I hear all the time.
Yeah. Tupac is Elvis.
Well,
Tupac,
I mean, the hologram didn't help that.
Did you see the reaction people had when that hologram fucking thing happened at Coachella in the desert? Like, did you see the looks on, like, those reaction YouTubes?
Can you imagine people that were, like, fucking stoned out of their head and they're like, what the fuck is going on? I thought he was dead.
Seriously, it's just, wow. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so what else? Please don't turn this into conspiracy theory. Now, episode 666 passed. You want conspiracy theory? You should have done it 2 weeks ago.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says the first episode of the remake or all episodes for FF7.
That's a great question. I would say the first episode of the remake. And me personally, I think the first episode of the remake is going to be the 2018 release. Square is going to have to put one of those things out next year. One of those two is coming out next year, and I think it's going to be the first part of the 7 remake.
In 2017?
Huh?
2017. Yeah.
Square has to deliver one of those two games because they've been hyping it for way too long. I mean, granted, look at the fucking game they released this week and hype, but I really think Square is on the line to release one of those two games in 2017. I think it'll be the first part of the 7 remake. But that's me personally. And then Death Stranding 2018. But anyway, what else? Game Awards.
One of the things that happened was Nolan North won for Best Voice Actor. And so, of course, you know, he had some words to say regarding the whole voice actor strike. So, basically, I guess I'll just kind of quote what he said here. Performance matters. And the performance of every designer, every programmer, and of every hardworking and talented person who works at the office, that performance is so important. And their performance matters more than mine. And it's important in this day and age with all the talk going back and forth, because without their performance, my performance wouldn't matter. It wouldn't even exist.
That almost seemed like it went against the strike, didn't it? Did anyone else take it that way? I mean, it kind of seemed like it played an interesting middle ground, but that almost seemed, especially because he said their performance matters more than mine. That was interesting.
I mean, the way I kind of take it is like, you know, yes, the voice actors should get paid more, but the programmers and designers should get paid more because we hear all the horror stories, you know, of all the shit they have to go through. And I think it's like he's just trying to say, listen, you know, recognize that what we do is important, but these guys that actually make the game are just as important, if not more important.
I see.
Why are we treating them so poorly?
I see that side of it too. But you know, and I've said this. I think this is a good reminder. I think because the way the video game news cycle is, right? I bet a lot of you forgot that this. Well, maybe not, but not you personally. But you know, I bet a lot of people out there forgot that this voice actor strike is going on, and we're talking about what do 2017, what do 2018's games look like, and all this stuff. These strikes could severely impact 2017 and 2018's gaming releases. Like, we're not seeing the impacts yet, but there's all these games further down the line that could severely be impacted because of the voice actor strike. You know, this is still going. It is not
That's
resolved.
Why I just get actual actors to do the roles, like, you know, Mike.
I mean, a lot of actual actors do.
Because SAG-AFTRA is one guild, I don't think people like Norman Reedus would be allowed to cross the lines. I'm not sure how that works. I don't know the science of it, but I don't. Because it is all one union, I don't think they can
well,
do
technically,
that.
He hasn't said anything yet, so, you know, that could very well.
Yeah, we don't know. So anything could happen. But I'm just saying, this is still a situation that needs to be resolved. And the one thing that Nolan North didn't bring up that I think is still an important issue about the strike altogether is the safety issues. And there's a lot of people, you know, about the whole fact that you can't do all these screams and yells in one recording session without sufficient breaks and rest and all this stuff. And there's still a lot of issues to be resolved. So, you know, I hope, if nothing else, you know, this speech reignites a conversation between the two sides, because if this doesn't get resolved, do you guys remember how the writer's strike ruined TV? Wait for it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Remember the show Heroes when it was good? And then the writer's strike happened? Yep. Anyway, what else?
All right. And see, so moving on from there, there was a trailer for a remaster of Bulletstorm, and they had Duke Nukem featured in that, which was kind of like, why the hell is Duke Nukem here?
Because they really want people to give Bulletstorm a look, because that game really got, I think, didn't that come out almost the same time that Overwatch did?
No, Bulletstorm was way older than that. Bulletstorm came out like several years ago.
Oh, did it? I'm confused.
Yeah, it was an Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 game.
I'm totes confusing it with Battleborn.
You're thinking that.
Whoops.
No, this came out back in 2011.
Okay.
And there's supposed to be, it's an enhanced version that's going to be offering, it's 60 FPS, Xbox One, PC, and PlayStation 4. And then they're going to also have 4K visuals on it. But Duke Nukem is going to be in it as well, so.
Okay, but still a second chance for people to check out a game they may have missed, and now, you know.
It was all right. I played a little bit of it, and I think I actually have it. It's in my library. Well, it wasn't my library when I was paying for Live Gold, but it's one of those free games with gold that they had a while back, so I don't know. But yeah, it was supposed to be pretty good, but I haven't played it. Let's see, what else? So then, after that, we had a teaser for Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's kind of been confirmed that's coming out. I'm assuming going to be timed around the time of the movie, the new movie, which we actually had a trailer for this weekend, which is kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, I missed that, but I heard that came out.
It was cool.
You know, I mean, still haven't seen the first movie.
You should really watch it. It's a good movie.
I just never see movies.
You should see it. It's a great movie. And then they showed some footage from Prey. This is one of the things I missed. I watched a portion of that, you know, and I saw that he, like, turned into a coffee cup and rolled himself through a hole, and then that was that. And I'm just like, wow, this really doesn't look like Prey, the original game, or it doesn't look like Prey, the reimagining of it that was supposed to be coming out a long time ago. I don't even know what this is. So it's a thing, though, but I wasn't all that interested in it.
I have neglected to watch the new footage, but I did enjoy the old Prey game. But yeah, I could get the sense from what we saw at E3 that this was just, it was not even going to be the same thing.
No,
it must be some of the original ideas from the original series and going somewhere else with it.
Yeah. Then there was a trailer for Spectre of Torment, which is the prequel for Shovel Knight, which kind of reminded me a lot of like a Castlevania type game. At least visually, it kind of reminded me of that.
But it looks like a whole new game to me. It doesn't even look like it's Shovel Knight. I mean, well, okay, yes, it has that same retro kitsch and the, you know, the music, but it doesn't look so much like an expansion like it does like just a whole new game.
Yeah,
in that same style.
But it looks good.
Yeah, I'm with you. It looks really cool.
And then of course, you know, I'm sure you saw the footage of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Fuck yes, I did.
So you want to talk about that?
It looked great. I mean, it was interesting because I got a very Mass Effect 1 vibe from it. Maybe that's the fact that you have the not Mako in it, the new car. But, you know, now you have the jetpacks, which is going to really change things up a little bit. But I was actually somewhat comforted by the fact there was a lot of familiarity to it, you know? The combat didn't look all that radically different. I mean, yes, there are clearly some differences with the jetpack, and they were showing more action-y stuff and less cover stuff, but I wonder if that's because cover doesn't make for
a very
good trailer.
Cover stuff, too. They had, like, one that almost looked like they put out one of those, like, I don't remember what their energy weapon, the Omni-Tool. Almost like it had, like, an Omni-Tool.
Yeah.
He built, like, a piece of cover that he was hiding behind.
Yeah, no.
Like a half wall thing.
So, I mean, I was really interested in what I saw. The one thing that kind of made me grimace a little bit was that they were showing that, oh, you can pick flowers and you can craft in this game. And I was like, Mass Effect has enough in it that you'll spend thousands of hours playing. You don't need the fucking...
Because the
min-maxer in me is like, I'm fucked, if that's a thing.
And then they also, like, you know, basically said, oh, yeah, here's your galaxy, you know, go explore and stuff. I was like... Getting too much of a No Man's Sky vibe with this. At least the plants look much nicer than No Man's Sky. Yeah. So,
well, and then if you actually, I don't know if this is spoilery or what, but Alan and I both noticed, which is funny because Shane, when I talked to Shane, he'd watched that trailer a billion times. He didn't notice what we noticed, Alan. Like the quest names in the right-hand corner of the screen, the missions that you're on. Like remember how we caught one that said loyalty mission? You were on somebody's loyalty mission. It was like, oh, they're bringing that back. That's going to be a key point.
Because Mass Effect 3 was rushed so badly, Mass Effect 2 was such an incredible game, and you got to fight mechs and robots, and there was all this stuff, and the loyalty missions, and you, in the Andromeda trailer, there are mechs that you fight. So it looks like they're bringing back a lot of the stuff from 2.
Which is why they've taken their sweet-ass time doing
it.
Was really good, yeah. So I'm really on board. I'm really, really looking forward to the game. I mean, of course I'm going to fucking buy it because it's Mass Effect. But, you know, there's been other talk about how multiplayer might be a little different, and they're saying that multiplayer will not influence the single-player game the way it did in Mass Effect 3, where it felt very required, and a lot of people really resented it for that. But I still love the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3, so I'm can't wait to try it in Andromeda.
Yep, and then they showed off some stuff for the new Walking Dead series that's going to be coming out. It looked okay, and I know they have some reoccurring characters. I still haven't played any of those, so I don't know. And then as far as like the Game Awards winners, one of the things I didn't really care for on the Game Awards is like a lot of these, they're like, oh, yeah, and this person's accepting the award for this, but they also won this. And it's like, okay, wow, there's like no fanfare whatsoever for that.
Must be a time thing, because I kind of did that last year, too, where it was like, I'm going to interview you, and you won this award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, Game of the Year went to Overwatch. Game Direction, also Overwatch. Narrative was Uncharted 4. Art Direction went to Inside, which I thought was pretty cool that Indie won that. Doom won Best Music and Sound Design. Of course, you know, Best Performance was Nolan North. Games for Impact went to That Dragon Cancer, which, you know, very touching speech, but my God, those people that were presenting were a little too enthusiastic about saying, you know, that it went to That Dragon Cancer. It's like, okay, dude, chill the fuck down. This is about a game about some kid who, you know, died. Don't need that much fucking, you know, oomph from you, okay? Just calm the fuck down.
Come down to about a 7.
Calm that shit down.
Yeah, calm your tits.
Best independent game also went to Inside, which is awesome. Best mobile or handheld game went to Pokemon Go, which I don't agree with that whatsoever. Maybe a few months ago, yes. But honestly, compared to the other games that were in the category, it is least game of all of them, I think.
I don't know if I agree, but that's all right.
Best VR game, Res Infinite. Best action game went to Doom. Action Adventure, Dishonored 2, which is weird because that just came out. Best RPG went to Witcher 3. Best fighting game, Street Fighter 5. Civ 6 won Best Strategy Game. Family game went to Pokemon Go. Sports racing went to Forza Horizon 3. Multiplayer went to Overwatch. And most anticipated game, which is most throwaway category ever, went to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And trending gamer went to Boogie 2988. And of course, best fan creation. Apparently there was no award listed for that.
What do you think about the whole, I guess there's some controversy out there, and I didn't really realize this until, you know, it was brought up on Bobby's show, and I did see a little bit about this on Twitter as well, is that apparently some people really not okay with the fact that Overwatch won Game of the Year. I'm not sure I understand that, because I kind of think Overwatch is a fantastic game. I do understand some people are bothered by the fact that it's multiplayer only, although I could nab you on a technicality. You can play against AI.
Well, I mean, I don't think that to disqualify something for, you know, not having a single-player version, if you want to fault them for anything, you fault them for their fucking loot system. But aside from that, I mean, everyone likes it, so what's the big
deal? I would
rather
they do that loot system than what Mortal Kombat X did, to be fair, for what it's worth. I mean, but I kind of think Overwatch, in many ways, has changed the game. And there's a lot of people out there that don't play first-person shooters that got sucked into Overwatch. And I think Overwatch kind of like opened up that new genre. And I think especially this is a shooter game, a first person shooter game, team game, like where the characters are so rich and developed that it's like a Disney cartoon. Like this game has accomplished a lot that a game like Doom that I really enjoyed, mind you, I don't think did in the same way.
Well, I think, you know, Team Fortress 2 did it first, but you know they've really cut back on what they're, you know, advertising for.
They did do it first. Overwatch took it to another level. In my opinion, these are opinions, and of course we're always going to bitch about award shows. That's what these fucking things are for, is to get us to bitch and complain about them. Just like the Oscars, when, you know, remember when Crash won the Oscar? Jesus Christ, you know, all that type of stuff. Like. Anyway, but Alan, you play a lot of Overwatch. What do you want to say?
I was going to say Overwatch, unlike any other game I've ever seen before, has a huge fan art, fan fiction, and, you know, player-created universe comprised of people that have no intention of playing the game and haven't played the game because the characters are so vibrant. And the little ship wars and all this stuff. Like, they'll watch the... Because the story that Blizzard provides for Overwatch is kind of paper thin to begin with. You really just have those YouTube shorts. But I've never seen a game where that has such a huge fandom comprised of people that have never played the game, that understand the characters, know about the characters, draw them, fantastic fan art, all this stuff. That in itself, I think, is worthy of giving a Game of the Year. All that right. It has some type of appeal like that.
But anyway, everybody's going to bitch about award shows, so obviously, I can even see in chat, there's people that disagree, and we're having the same things in there, and I'm just kind of, I'm rolling my eyes in a way, I'm not rolling my eyes at the opinion, I'm rolling my eyes at the whole, and this is what award shows do, like, this is the hype they build, so you tune in next year and all that stuff, so, but I at the same time, I also just kind of feel like, okay, wait, there are reasons why Overwatch is worthy of Game of the Year consideration. But again, just like Shane hated Final Fantasy 15, and I don't fucking understand it, there's just always going to be differences of opinion.
But one thing we can agree on that was really cringy about the whole show was the product placement. And granted, yes, I do understand they have to pay for the show, but my fucking God, do we really need a person dressed up like a Schick Hydro robot? It was just such a weird, like, oh, hey, let's just watch this awesome trailer for Death Stranding. Wow, yeah. That was so cool. Now let's talk about the Schick Hydrobot and fucking
at least it wasn't,
what the fuck was that?
At you least know? It wasn't Doritos and Mountain Dew.
But yeah. It is now. It's the new meme. So, I mean, it's okay. Just, it's bad.
All right. So let's talk about the PlayStation experience. So, I mean, literally 2 days later, then we have the PlayStation experience happens. But you didn't watch the keynote.
I did not watch this. I watched the trailers a little bit afterwards for the ones I was interested
in. So I did watch the PlayStation experience. So I'll take the lead on this a little bit. You fill in any gaps that I'm missing on this stuff, okay? Because I'm going to do it from memory. So the PlayStation experience had the thing. And JD, you actually watched this with me, even though you don't really play a lot of the modern games. Right. But did you like what you saw out of the keynote?
Well, I mean, I recognize Parappa, that's for sure.
We'll get to that. I will say that, you know, I think Sony did a bang-up job. I mean, really, this was like an E3-level conference. The news was there. You know, and they promised it at the beginning. It's going to be games, games, games.
And no backwards compatibility news, so fuck them.
There isn't, and there's... yes, there are places that Sony still needs to improve. But hey, you know what? At least a guy came out on stage and said the word Vita multiple times. So we got to give him a little credit. We're going to give him a little credit, partial credit for that. But no, I think all things considered, despite the lack of backwards compatibility when they so set it up for that, at one point, the words he was saying was talking about the classic games. He's like, "And we know you're excited to play classic games and stuff." And like the whole audience is like, "We are about to jizz all at once because of what you're about to say." And then he said, "Let's talk about the Crash Bandicoot remaster." And everybody was like, "Motherfucker, you know." Not really, because Crash Bandicoot remaster, I guess we'll start there. The Crash Bandicoot remaster looks really neat. I mean, it's not just a simple up-res. Like, they've gone back and they've redid a lot of stuff. The question is, will that game formula hold up all this time later? But I kind of think it will. I'll check it out. Yeah, I mean, you know, and the fact that it's, like, all three original games kind of helps quite a bit. So, you know, that's good. I know it started, they started the PlayStation thing with some footage of a game that you didn't know what it was. Right. And it looked really pretty, and it looked like it was set in India, you know, and the lead character was wearing a burqa, so you were kind of like, ooh, is this like, this is a new IP? What is this? And actually, we were all sitting in the room, and we were going, it's Tomb Raider. This is a Tomb Raider game. But then we're kind of looking, but I'm kind of looking at going, but I just, Tomb Raider in the city, just, I, but I'm like, nope. Okay, well, maybe they're going to go a radical
they
new
showed,
direction
I think it was supposed to be Syria, but they showed a horizon shot where it was obvious that this place that she was at was very war-torn, and... Tomb Raider doesn't really go to those types of topics.
So, I mean, in the beginning, I was like, ooh, this could be Tomb Raider. This might be like, ooh, just like Microsoft got the second Tomb Raider. Maybe Sony's got a deal for the third. But then it turns out, no, it's not Tomb Raider, but it's like literally the adjacent thing. It's Uncharted. It was an Uncharted game. It was Uncharted Lost Legacy, except this time. And I have to admit, I don't super follow Uncharted, and I realize a lot of you are into it. But again, you can only play so many games as a hobbyist. But I understand this is a very popular female character in the game that they're
centering. When she took off her scarf and the entire audience like gay gasped, I'm like, I have no idea who this woman is. And I guess, it's Nathan Drake's ex from 2.
Ah.
And she's, I guess, a fan favorite character and very recognizable face. Claudia Black, who is Morgan in Dragon Age and the woman in Farscape. That's one of the characters that she voice acts for.
Oh, okay.
So she by herself is amazing. But yeah, she's getting her own game, and it was really interesting for me to hear the entire audience go like, it's her. And I'm like, I don't know who this chick is.
Dart to see you in chat says gay gasp. That's a thing. No. That's not. That's
no.
Yeah.
Like, yes, has to be very over the top.
You have to clutch your pearls as you inhale.
Yes, you have to clutch your pearls as you inhale. That's the difference. Yeah, exactly. Like, and it has to be like big. It has to be really big news. You know, Crash beat Brokeback Mountain for Best Picture.
And I made an Uncharted joke before we were like, I think this is Tomb Raider, and then it turned out actually it is tangent. It is a part of the Uncharted umbrella. I was like a fucking course. So
yeah, didn't you like shout out to Nathan Drake?
Oh yeah, like it look. Yeah, it's obviously a woman with long hair that's wrapped up in a scarf covering her face. But like once the scarf comes off, it's just like Nathan Drake's like face, like with the stubble and everything. Like, I just thought that would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. It'd be good. Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says she's like Nathan Drake, only with less scruples. So,
anyway, from what I see of Nathan Drake on Tumblr, he doesn't have many scruples at all.
But the game looked great for what, I mean, because that looked like it was being rendered, like, in-game. Like, that was, like, an actual, like, so it looked really neat. And, you know, again, I don't really play a lot of the Uncharted games, and I totally recognize, like, it's one of those series I need to play. But, you know, tear me away from the MMOs, and maybe I will. Then they announced Marvel versus Capcom. It is. And even last week, didn't we sit here last week and say it was debunked? But I guess not. Somebody did a good job saving that thing from leaking completely, I guess. But it is Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, not Marvel versus Capcom 4, but, you know, same thing. Except as the joke I said with Loki earlier, infinite DLC perhaps, but we'll see. They did show gameplay. Now in the press thing they did in the morning, well, it wasn't really press thing, but it might as well have been. And that thing they did in the morning, they didn't really show the gameplay. But if you watch the Capcom Cup later on, which we just happened to be watching Twitch at the time, we turned it on right as the Street Fighter V finals were happening, and then right after that, they showed the gameplay footage. And it looked pretty good. I'm assuming it's being done in Street Fighter V's engine?
No, Unreal 4.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting. But it looks good. There's only four characters we know so far. Ryu,
they were supposed to. Captain America was another confirmed character, apparently. Okay. So, but, yeah.
Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel.
Mega Man X and
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all we know so far. But then again, the rumors are out there. There are no X-Men. Which would be a very strange departure for the series, because Storm has always been there, Cyclops has always been there. It would be very strange to not have that. But
it would be a departure for the video game, but it's very current with what's going on in the comics right now.
True, fair enough. Fair enough.
It would be cool though if we can get some more of the cinematic universe, maybe Doctor Strange, maybe Ant-Man or something. Or...
Several people in chat are saying Morrigan was also confirmed, as well as Captain America. So, well, that's cool. All right, so Marvel vs. Capcom, and then they dropped the bombshell, and Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is out on PlayStation 4 today, which all those copyright issues we talked about a few weeks ago, I guess they worked that shit out, because there it is.
Which is weird, because that does have X-Men characters, and that also has Deadpool in it, and it's like, well, shit, if you can work that shit out, why can't you work it out for this game?
It must be something about the fact that the game was already done a long time ago.
And if they did backwards compatibility with PS3, you could just... run it that way.
Yeah.
But now you have to buy it again.
Yeah. Nice. But I think they didn't do any remaster or anything to it, right?
No, it's they did. I thought it was up-res and it's also 60 FPS or something.
Oh, maybe. I just figured they took the 3 and made it playable on the 4. But I guess you could have
maybe.
To, maybe. I don't know.
It has all the DLC, though.
That's cool.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase FEAR.
I was really into this. Some folks in the room, like Alan and JD, when this came on, were like, is this F-Zero? But no, it's the next best thing on a Sony console. It was Wipeout. And so they are remastering the Wipeout series, which is interesting because that developer had closed years ago. So Sony must be taking those, you know, assets, and they must have given it to somebody else to develop the Wipeout Omega Collection that is confirmed is going to come out on PlayStation 4 this summer. I'm a fan of the Wipeout series. It took me a little bit to warm up to. I didn't like it right away, but it was a game I played a lot of all things. I think it was on the Vita or on the PSP, one of those. I played a lot of the Wipeout. Like, I remember playing that on the portable. So, and it's a fun series. So again, since Nintendo keeps denying me a fucking HD F-Zero, I will take what I can get. So an HD Wipeout, even though we did have one on, but you know, a more HD-er Wipeout on PlayStation 4 will be welcomed. I'm excited to check that out for sure. Then there was that Crash Remastered footage, Ace Combat 7, which I gotta admit, I don't really follow the franchise. So
it has PlayStation VR support, I know that.
That looked pretty cool. But I also know this series does have its diehard fans, as, you know, flight sim games also do, although Ace Combat's not a total flight sim game.
It's more arcadey, I think.
Yeah, it's more arcadey. I feel like it kind of fills that void for, like, if Top Gun on the NES had become a series on and on, like, this is what it would be now. You know what I mean? But obviously, because of licensing and stuff, you know, there really wasn't any more Top Gun games after the NES. But I kind of feel like that's what this would be years later. But I know people are super into it, so I want to give it a shout out.
I no longer care about Half-Life 3 because I saw that Knack 2 is coming out. Just kidding, no one cares.
Yes, Knack 2 was announced. That kind of came out of left field. Like,
was the first one even good? Was the first one even a hit?
It had a cult following, I think. You know, people were just
like, this is the sequel nobody asked for. Was it well received in Japan compared to here, maybe? I don't know, Akuma?
But there's a lot of people there, fans of Knack.
Really?
Yeah, all right, I guess.
Hey, if that Windjammer game, which I'd never fucking heard of, can get a release that gets everybody riled up, then why not Knack?
What the fuck's Windjammer?
So apparently it's one of those, like, okay, you know how, like, we never shut up about the Guardian Legend and how the Guardian Legend deserves a sequel or it deserves another chance, you know, all this stuff. So is it GameSpot or is it Giant Bomb? One of those does that with Windjammer. So because they're bigger and more people pay attention to them, they actually got their wish.
It's a Neo Geo game where if you wanted the home version, you had to get the console where the games were like $300 because it was the arcade board that you were basically buying. I think it's a Neo Geo game.
SSU owner Matt insists we're playing Windjammers at MAGFest. That's fine. I mean, there's obviously a reason they won't shut up about it. It looked like it must have had a competitive edge. It looked like that game, maybe this is something somebody stayed up all night playing at like a sleepover party like years ago or something, and that's why, you know, people have like a sentimental attachment to it or whatever. But like literally as I was watching it, I was like, okay, like the audience seemed to be losing their shit, and I'm like, there is clearly a joke I am not in on. So I like went to Twitter and I'm like, what's the joke? Because I don't get some. I got some tweets. It's like, oh, Giant Bomb, they love it over there, all this stuff. I was like, oh, okay, so.
But what about what we want?
I know. What about what I want? I guess we have to get about 2 million more followers before we'll get our Guardian Legend remake. All right. Let's see. So what else? Speaking of remakes, Parappa the Rappa unveiled as a remaster. That was a little bit of a bombshell that they dropped. Now, we had heard inklings a couple days before that Sony had filed a trademark or something for Parappa the Rappa, so there was a lot of news going into Saturday that it was coming back, and maybe that was a little bad that that came out, because my mind went, finally, they're going to give us a new Parappa game. This is the game we've been... They're going to right all the wrongs with Parappa 2. Maybe Umjamalami will make an appearance in it, and it'll be like the must-have Parappa game. I am so excited. We're finally going to revisit this series, and... it's a remaster of the first game.
Buy your one of your favorite games again.
Yeah.
It's what they're doing, because why bother adding backwards compatibility when you can resell these games for $20 a pop again?
But if they're going to remaster them like they're doing Parappa, then I'm a lot more okay with it than I am when they don't. By the way, they released Parappa the Rappa 2 on PlayStation 4 last year when they kicked off their whole PS2 thing. So...
Is it really an accomplishment to remaster a game that's art style was cel-shaded and very...
4K graphics, Alan.
But the whole point of that game is the music, which is fantastic, but it's like, we rebuilt Parappa the Rappa from the ground up or whatever, and it's like, but it was always cartoons.
And
like,
it wasn't that probably that crazy of a system. I mean, what?
Yeah.
It's a rhythm game.
They look like, they're like paper dolls.
And where the fuck is Vib Ribbon? Wasn't I supposed to get that on PlayStation 4 like a year ago?
I was promised Vib Ribbon.
Yeah, where the hell's Vib Ribbon?
You know, did Parappa ever get the Space Channel 5 treatment where they like...
Just quickly. I understand it was released on PlayStation 3, but we were supposed to get it on PlayStation 4 at some point too. That didn't happen. Anyway.
Did they ever like release a collected edition with the sequels all together in one place? Or are they just like scattershot? Like, here's this one, here's that
one. I think they're scattershot because Parappa 2 was on PlayStation 2.
Right.
And okay. So, yeah. And Umjamalami, for some reason, everybody's forgotten about, even though it was the superior game
because it had a different name.
Well, and it's just it was the sequel that Parappa like
should have been or whatever,
even though Parappa 2 came later. But anyway, look, here's the thing. I don't want to sound like I'm hating on it too much, because of course I downloaded the demo and it was a lot of fun to play. I still love Parappa. If this is how a new generation can get introduced to Parappa, then cool. I just wish they'd go somewhere new with it. Maybe this is them testing the water. This has to do well for them to justify another stage. But it's like, we just got Rez again, but I love Rez, and it's great in VR and all this stuff. So
Area X.
But they added Area X. They added some...
Now, did you play Area X finally?
I still haven't gotten to Area X.
You really need to
do
Area X.
I know. But it's like, I would be 10 times more excited about Parappa if like... Oh, but you can, you know, get a new stage that we added to the game, or there's something else, and that's just, it's kind of missing for me. However,
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as part of that same announcement, in the same breath, they also said, by the way, Loco Roco and Patapon are also going to be redone just like this. And actually, this is really weird for me to say, I'm almost more excited about those two than I am Parappa, because those two, the fact that they came out on the handhelds originally, I think a lot of people overlooked those series, especially Patapone. You know, Patapone's a pretty cool little, like, it's like part music game, part, you know, but that's, I think a lot of people missed that game because it was never on a console. So I'm actually more excited that that is getting a second chance than even maybe something like Parappa.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say, Logie?
Oh, I was just going to say that.
That same thing. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Orange Wright says, it's cool to have both Parappas. Hopefully Umjama Lammy follows suit. Exactly. But at the same time, if you're going to do Umjama Lammy, you can either A, add a new stage, or B, give me the original version with the Hell stage, not the censored stuff. That would be a draw. But I'm not going to hold my breath that that would ever happen. But I'm just going to say. All right. Let's see. Gran Turismo Sport looked pretty gorgeous.
I mean, it's also VR support. So.
They were like, it supports the Pro. It supports PlayStation VR. It supports the camera. I don't know if they said the camera, but it feels like it supports everything. Like they
4K.
Were like, 4K, HDR. And it looked gorgeous. Like, absolutely gorgeous. Which Gran Turismo games usually do. So, you know, I'm... Even though I don't get into that series because I can't do the sim.
It's per sim.
Yeah,
like,
I can't do that as well.
I really wish they'd go the Forza Horizon route where you can dial that sim or arcade in.
Do you know how bad I would love a Gran Turismo like arcade-y game, like a Gran Turismo Horizon? Like, why is it? Is that what Drive Club was supposed to be?
Drive Club is still more sim racing, yeah. I think.
Okay.
MotorStorm is more of like your arcade racing type thing. That was even still somewhat sim, but I mean, you know, MotorStorm Apocalypse is not sim.
If any Sony peeps are out there, Gran Turismo, but Forza Horizon it, like, there's people that would love to see that. Just saying.
I mean, just like even the settings. Like, even if you can have the settings just like you do in Forza Horizon, where you can, if you... really suck at racing games like I do, and you just want to dial that old arcadian stuff, then you should do that.
I will point out, though, they did change the name to Sport. Could that indicate that it's a little bit different from the mainline games?
Could be.
So maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. Maybe there is going to be a shift here.
Maybe, I don't
know. All right,
know.
So we'll see. To be continued. Let's see, Ni No Kuni 2, they showed some more footage of, which that game's a little bit legendary here at VOG Network. But I liked what I said. I mean, they're very heavy on the anime and the cutscenes, but you saw a little bit of the playable stuff. It looked like it didn't maybe necessarily connect so much to the first game, which might be a good thing because I'm sure there's a lot of people. I mean, the first game came out a while ago now, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who never played the first game are going to be curious about this one. So
yeah.
Are they Final Fantasy-ing it a little bit where the maybe. Two games don't tie together? But, you know, I really liked what I saw, so I'd be curious about it. Just, you know, maybe reconsider the demo this time. Maybe you guys can get Bobby Blackwolf on board with Ni No Kuni 2 if you approach the demo differently. Just, you know, reapproach that a little differently. Yakuza 6 and Kiwami both were shown back to back. I know Yakuza, like, super has diehard fans and very cinematic presentation and lots of things to do in those games. So I know people are very excited about those games. Again, another franchise like Uncharted that I know I need to play.
So what's Kiwami?
That's the reimagining of the first game, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
Yeah. So that is both on the horizon for the next year. Then, believe it or not, I'm going to bring up a sports game because MLB 17, the show, right? They showed a little bit of that, but they showed this retro mode that looked awesome. Like, it was like you had the modern day graphics that you get with one of these games, but the play style was like the NES or something. And the scoreboard looked all NES style, and there were sprites, but all over, like, the photorealistic graphics that come with one of these newer sports games. And I was like, you have my attention, because I could play baseball games back during, like, you know, RBI baseball and bases loaded and all this stuff on the NES. It's a little rough for me now. So if they kind of dumbed it down a little bit in a retro mode, I really want to try that. So I think that was a very interesting approach for that. Do it in a hockey game so I can feel like I'm playing Blades of Steel all over again, please. Lara Croft Go coming out on PlayStation 4. It's out today release. That game has already existed, if I'm not mistaken, on PC and I think the mobile tablet space. So it's not a new game per se, but a lot of people will be giving that the first go. They announced a free game on PlayStation 4, Let It Die, although I use my quotey fingers with free because I noticed when I went to get Let It Die in the store, they were selling gems in different size packs.
Well, yeah, it's free to play, and it's
it's one of those free to play games.
It's the guy that did, you know, all the, I forget the name, Grasshopper manufacturer, I think, is the one that's behind it. I think that's who it was. They're the ones that did, like, you know, Killer 7 and No More Heroes, all that stuff.
Ease Origin. I was just surprised to see that at the press conference, because usually we don't talk about the Ease series on the American shores. I just wanted to say I was pleasantly blown away that they showed that here, because, you know, that's more of a cult type game for the really JRPG aficionados, and they showed that on the main stage. I thought that was cool. And then the big finish, you know, just explosion everywhere, was The Last of Us 2. And a lot of people lost their flipping minds over that, even though we don't have any gameplay, but just the fact that they're doing it, and the characters that are coming back have a lot of people very, very excited. And I know a lot of people really, really love that game, so I understand why people are excited about the sequel. Also on my list of games, I must have something against Naughty Dog. Like, I keep skipping all their games. I'm not doing it intentionally.
I haven't played Last of Us either, and apparently a lot of people say it's fantastic. So
I keep meaning to visit the PS4 remaster because it's only like $20, but it's just, you know, again, pull me away from the RPGs if you can. But I know a lot of people are very excited about the sequel, and the trailer did look really good, you know, for a reveal trailer. What I liked about it is that, yes, it was not gameplay footage, but it definitely looked like it was something that was rendered completely in the game. You know what I mean? So that's what I thought was really nice about that. So very exciting. Also, now there's a game missing from this list, and chat, you might have to help me out with this. What was the game? It was a twin stick shooter game. And oh, they actually have the guy from Smash TV is on board with that game. Is that the Supergiant Games game that they were showing? What was the twin stick shooter game? Because that soundtrack was amazing. Whatever that was.
It
was. I was so here for that.
It was Hex Machina, or Hex Machina Death Machine.
Thank you. Dark Tetsuya says Hex Machina. That was the name of the game. Yes. And Eugene Jarvis, of course, of Smash TV legend, is involved with that game. So and the soundtrack was amazing. So yes, please to that. So we'll be seeing more on that in the future. Was that also the game that Supergiant Games was doing? Or no, I'm mixing up my games right now.
I don't see who's attached to that. Let's see what the other one was here.
Actually, I feel like the Supergiant Games had a different name. I think I am mixing up games. I think Supergiant Games had a one-word game.
That might be this one here. Let me just take a look. Was it Vane?
I don't remember.
No.
But I do remember.
No, that's Friend or Foe Games. That's different.
I do remember they also showed like a concept trailer or whatever. They showed a little more about that Edith Finch game, like whatever happened to Edith Finch. And that trailer was pretty conceptually pretty cool. Did you see that? Oh, no, you didn't see that because you didn't see the show. So never mind. Pyre. I am mixing up my games. Pyre is the Supergiant Games that's being worked on. So, but anyway, that Hex Machina looked amazing. So I'm here for that. Woo! Okay, let's move on. That's a lot of gaming news. My God, we've had a 2-hour opener tonight's show. That's how much news has been going on this week. It's a busy week. But we got to get to the classic game of the week. You know what? We got to go back to a time. Let's go back to a time when retro mode was simply mode. The classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a week that she thinks, hey, brats, play this game instead of your fancy pants, Last of Us's, and your knacks that you all want a sequel for. Go back to this classic game. Obviously, Dark Sakura not here in studio tonight. She'll be back to take over the segment next week. So here it is, the last chance to stealth this segment away with Halo. But I'm going to allow JD to pick tonight's game. JD, what is the classic game of the week this week?
So this is Generation 2's side game. It's Pokemon Puzzle Challenge.
Oh, a timely Pokemon selection to go with all the... We can't forget that Sun and Moon, there's still a lot of hysteria around that game.
Right.
Even though Final Fantasy 15 came out this week.
Yeah, so this is a game, it's a puzzle game, as you might guess from the name. This is for Game Boy Color, and it came out in 2000. There's a grid that's like 6 by, I want to say 18 or so. You match the color blocks by switching two adjacent spaces horizontally. This is basically a remade version of Tetris Attack, which itself was a remade version of Panel de Pon. And you end up making a lot of combos, and which are simultaneously matching three or more, usually up to about 10 or so. And there's also chains when the blocks cascade because this game has gravity. And if you continue to make combos, you make bigger and bigger chains, which are worth more points and do more damage. There's a couple of different modes. The most prominent mode in the game involves what are called garbage blocks, where the game just drops entire rows of unbreakable blocks on you. Well, of solid blocks, and you try to break them by making a combo that's adjacent to them, and they turn into usable blocks and they drop down on the field. And you are fighting basically various Gen 2 Pokemon, and there's also time limit modes and get all the blocks below a certain point. So it's a lot of fun. The really big advantage of this game is that it was on the Game Boy Color, so you could take it with you anywhere. I put so many hours into this because I, you know, could just take it wherever I wanted on road trips and stuff like that. There's a couple of goals that you can do besides the main storyline. If you do certain achievements, like make a chain of seven combos, or seven chain, which is like blocks falling and cascading and continuing, you get to catch rare Pokemon and things like that. This also had an N64 version that was Pokemon Puzzle League, and that was much more reliant on the anime. But this version just had remixed versions of the Game Boy Color music from the various towns that you have in Gold and Silver. Yeah, I think that's about all I have to say about it.
So you, I like to hear memories about playing the game. But you kind of addressed this. You like to play this on long road trips and stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I was in school when this came out, and we would go on family trips, which were like 6 to 8 hours in the car. And, you know, if you take a Game Boy Color with you, the battery will last that long. And it's something you do when you're just driving down the highway and there's not much to look at.
Some of the Pokemon spin-off games were really good.
Yeah, and this is one of the like top-rated Game Boy Color games from the life of the system.
Yeah.
You know, despite being a spin-off game from a franchise. But puzzle games are, like, one of my favorite genres, and this one is absolutely worth picking up. It's also on the 3DS Virtual Console, so if you don't have a Game Boy Color anymore, you can still pick it up.
Ooh, good call. Now, something I want to ask about, though, is that, you know, if it had been me picking the classic game of the week and my brain went to Pokemon spin-off games, I probably would have picked Pokemon Puzzle League on Nintendo 64, but then again, you know, personal does a lot with that. But
yeah.
What did you ever play the N64 version, and how do you compare?
So I love the N64 version. I have it on Virtual Console on my Wii because I don't have a 64 anymore either. It's a different game. Part of it was just I had a Game Boy Color. That was my first Game Boy. That was my first video game system. So I got it earlier. Even though the game came out later. So part of it is personal memories. And part of it is just, like I said, I think the portable nature of it made it a much more accessible game. You know, you can't just take an N64 around with you. You have to have a TV and a power source and all of that. You know, the N64 version did have a 3D mode, which was cool, but...
And, like, those anime-style intros.
Yeah,
pretty
so...
impressive, yeah.
The Pokemon Puzzle League is actually, you know, it only came out in the US because it relied so much on the anime dub. I mean, it's a worthwhile game in its own right, but this one really focused a lot more on the basics of we're doing puzzles, and that's the heart of this game. Yeah.
No, awesome. I mean, again, this is a great, great spin-off game and just a fun puzzle game. And I'm seeing in chat, there is a little shade being thrown in chat, so I should bring this up. Bobby Blackwolf says, Tetris Attack SNES greater than Pokemon Puzzle League N64.
Did the SNES one have a 3D mode? Because that was a really, really neat feature.
And Tetris Attack didn't really have the Pokemon stuff in it, which was a really cute license. I think it had Yoshis and stuff.
Though. Yeah, yeah. Tetris Attack was a Mario license.
And Tetris,
like,
Attack wasn't bad by any means. It just,
right.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, the original game this is based on in Japan, the Panel Dupont, that's where the lipstick item comes from in Super Smash. So, I mean, all of it is just, let's throw our licensed characters on it to make a theme for it, because that's how you do puzzle games to make people buy them.
And I'm with folks in chat who say both are great. Let's leave
yeah,
it at that.
Yeah, they're both top great. Level games.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Puzzle games are awesome. So there it is, your classic game of the week, Pokemon Puzzle Challenge on the Game Boy Color. Thank you for that pick. A very timely pick with a lot of Pokemon fever going around right now. We are going to take a break. It is time to finally take a break here. We still have plenty more show to go, believe it or not. Like, even though there was all that big news, we still have news. And your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype when we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 668 of our show for this December the 4th of 2016. Again, Dark Sakura is still out for one more week, but JD, you did a very good job of Classic Game of the Week this week. Appreciate that. Good job. Speaking of kind of like classic games, Loki, you and I were talking about something before the show tonight that I thought was kind of interesting.
Yes, I was discussing how I was playing Excite Truck and stuff, and I said, you know what? Those launch Wii titles are 10 years old now because, you know, and so they're all contenders of the Classic Game of the Week.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's kind of weird to think about is that, like, oh, my gosh. And I remember when we were covering the Wii launch and all that stuff. But, yeah, now things like Zelda Twilight Princess would be eligible. And we were talking about Trauma Center just the other day, right? There was a Trauma Center game that was a Wii launch game.
Trauma Center was slightly about a month late, so you'll have to wait a couple
more weeks. I thought it was a launch title.
It was a launch title. It was like a couple weeks later.
It was a remake of the DS game anyway.
Oh, okay. I thought we got that when we got the Wii game, but whatever. But anyway, yeah, that's
great. Red Steel.
Oh, yeah, Red Steel. Oh, my God, the Ubisoft game, right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy to think that, yeah, Wii games are now eligible for Classic Game of the Week.
Aren't Raving Rabbids also a launch title?
Was Raving Rabbids? I don't remember.
I think that might have been later. I'm trying to think what I got at launch, because I bought a ton of the launch games when they came out. So I know Wii Sports, that would be one. Obviously, Excite Truck. I'm trying to think what other games I bought. Twilight Princess. I don't know.
Well, Excite Truck's all that matters. But next time you get to pick a game, that'll be the one. Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's get back. You know what's not eligible ever, though, is Halo. Just kidding. Let's get back into the news cycle with some rapid-fire news. Loki.
So YouTube has upgraded their streaming. So now you'll be able to stream in 4K, which is fantastic, except I don't think that my internet can handle that. I mean, I can't even download in 4K, I don't believe. Well, then again, I don't have a 4K TV, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, you can do that. And also, they're going to extend, I guess, you're going to be able to do 360 video as well. I guess in 4K, this says a 4K streaming option also extends to 360 video. Wow. And then, of course, this was kind of cool. Not necessarily during the PlayStation conference, but there was another conference going on in Vancouver, Canada. And that was MechCon 2016. And apparently they announced that Piranha Games is going to be releasing MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries. And it looks pretty awesome and MechWarrior-ish. It's going to be taking place in the year 3015. And you're going to take the role of a rookie mech pilot who finds themselves amidst of the war between factions. And they said there's some gameplay footage that they showed off, and also there's going to be a single player campaign, and that's supposed to come out in PC in 2018.
Are you going to get it because you like mech games?
You know, I haven't played a MechWarrior game in a long time, but like, I would be down for a new MechWarrior game on, you know, with VR support. That'd be pretty fucking awesome, to be honest.
Yeah, a VR mech game would be a lot of fun.
It would be like one bringing of those back, games. Yeah, bringing back to the you know, playing the virtual world stuff.
Heck yeah! All right, let's talk about some backwards compatibility on Xbox One. There was a brand new game that came out that's a pretty big deal on Xbox One for the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, and that is Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. Speaking of launch titles, or at least I think Oblivion was more launch window. I think it originally supposed to come out. Like, it was supposed to come out that day, but it came out a few months later. Oblivion did, but obviously that is an Xbox 360 game a lot of people checked out because the PlayStation 3 version had problems when it first came out, especially, and that had even come out later. And PlayStation 3, you know, Sony botched a lot in the early days of that they had to fix later on. So a lot of people really associate the Elder Scrolls Oblivion, if not PC, on Xbox 360. So that's really cool that is now backwards compatible. I'm sure also helps in free promo for Skyrim Remastered, if nothing else.
Uh-huh.
Not the only game to hit backwards compatibility this week, however. Medal of Honor Airborne, Trine 2, and Astro Pop, the PopCap game, also now available on Xbox One. Guess which one of those I actually own? Astro Pop. I guess I do have Elder Scrolls as well, though. I thought that game was phenomenal on the 360. The next games for PlayStation Plus have been announced. So December's PlayStation Plus titles, which will go live on December 6th. It's a little bit later. It didn't go live this week, but they're going to be going live a little later. For the PlayStation 4, Invisible Inc., not INK, but like Incorporated. Invisible Incorporated is going to be free for PlayStation Plus users, as well as Stories, Path of Destinies. On the PlayStation 3, there is Hyper Void, which, by the way, is also a PlayStation 4 title.
And also a PlayStation VR.
Tiny Troopers Joint Ops, also a PlayStation 4 title. And then on the PlayStation Vita, Color Guardians, also a PlayStation 4 title. So there's a lot of like smaller, but still, you know, games that you're going to be able to pick up on PlayStation 4 because when you cross by them on the PlayStation 3 and the
Yeah, field. I have to remember, yeah. I had not downloaded all the, or marked all the games for November, so I, like, went and grabbed the rest of them. Like, oh, hey, there's some other games I missed.
Yeah, like, everybody's gone to the Rapture, if you still haven't played that.
You'll make sure you mark that was, I think, October.
No, it's still up. I think it's still up for this week, month.
Well, I must have already gotten that then. There was BMX something, and then, some other game.
And then if you haven't played this yet on the Vita, VVVVV, which, you know, that's been out a million times.
Why is that not on PlayStation 4?
It is.
Why isn't that free?
That's a good question. That one was not marked as cross-buy, but I'm almost positive VVVV is on PlayStation 4 because I think I bought it. Yeah. So, because I have that, you know, you guys all tease me about the Mass Effect 3 thing, but I'm pretty sure I have VVVV on PC, 3DS, and PlayStation 4. So, yeah, that is interesting that maybe they all are. I don't know. But for some reason, they don't have it marked as such. All right, so let's now get into the mailbag. Every week you guys email us. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to do that. I almost forgot to talk about what's in stores this week. What is in stores this week, Loki?
Lots of important things, actually. So this week we've got a lot of Oculus Rift games coming out. So actually, let's start off Arizona Sunshine on HTC Vive and the Rift. Carnival Games VR coming to the Rift. Dead and Buried, Dead Hungry. Those are also both for the Rift. Dead Rising 4 coming out on PC and Xbox One. Dext on Oculus Rift. Enigma Sphere. Fantastic Contraption. Final Approach. Hollow Ball. Those are all on the Rift. I Expect You to Die on the Rift and PlayStation VR. Oculus First Contact also on the Rift. Purehead Arcade. Quar Battle for Gate 18, Rip Coil also all on the Rift. Shadow Tactics Blades of the Shogun on PC, Mac, and Linux. Sports Bar VR on the Rift. The Climb also Rift. The little PlayStation 4 game by the name of The Last Guardian, I'm sure that no one is looking forward to. That comes out this week.
Well, yeah, just that little you know, dump it at the end of the year title.
Exactly. The Unspoken on the Rift, VR Sports Challenge, also Rift, and then Werewolves Within on pretty much all VR platforms, HTC Vive, Rift, and PlayStation VR. And then we've got a little later in the week, Apollo Justice Ace Attorney on Android, Nitro Plus Blasters, Heroines Infinite Duel on PC, Yakuza 6 on PlayStation 4, and let's see, what else? Space Hulk Deathwing, that's on PC. Starly Girls Episode Starcia on iOS and Android. And that's it.
Bobby in chat is talking about he's going to have a big show next week with all this VR stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff. And a lot of stuff that was on PlayStation VR. So, like, I know that apparently the Sports Bar VR is supposed to be pretty good. I'm actually waiting to get that, maybe.
Well, let's look at the Japanese releases. You know, the last couple weeks were kind of slow, but it's picking up again in Japan. There's a very big game out this week in Japan on the PlayStation 4. In fact, this is a game so big that it actually has a special 500 gig system bundle, also a terabyte system bundle. All the kind of big stuff for this game. It's Ryu Ga Gotoku 6. Do you know what that is? Ryu Ga Gotoku?
Yep, that's
yep,
Yakuza.
It's Yakuza. So Yakuza 6 is making its way to Japan this week, and that is the big release on the PlayStation 4. But there are some other games as well. We also have Touhou Shinpouku Urban Legend in Limbo is out this week, and Dishonored 2 gets its Japanese release this week as well. So pretty busy week there in Japan with that being... So it's like we're getting The Last Guardian, they're getting Yakuza 6. Pretty big deal. I imagine they've got to be getting The Last Guardian there as well, though, in Japan. Yes, they are also getting it the same day we are. So it's kind of like a worldwide release, if you will. Looking at the 3DS, the 3DS has some Monster Hunter amiibos that are coming out this week, so keep an eye out for that. Miitopia is a game that's coming out on the 3DS in Japan. I'm not familiar with this title, but I feel like this is something you would think would have been released over here. But Miitopia does look like, yes, it's a game that involves the Miis. And I'm trying to see if it bears a resemblance to, like, is it Tomodachi Life or something like that? But no, it looks like, you know, you have the little Mii characters, like, living in an apartment complex. But it's not like Tomodachi Life, because then you have, like, this little, like, kind of, like, battle mode and stuff, too. So it looks like it might be a collection of mini games involving Miis. Jamie would be very happy to hear that Puyo Puyo Chronicle is coming out in Japan this week as well, and that is on the 3DS. There's also a special Nintendo 2DS to celebrate Pokemon Sun and Moon is coming out in Japan this week. Lastly, checking the Vita, because the Vita is still seeing a stream of releases in Japan. No Yakuza 6 on the Vita, but Momo Tuji Taisen Ryoku 3 is out on the Vita this week in Japan. So busy week. How about the UK, Loki?
The only thing I've listed right now is The Last Guardian.
Well, it's a pretty big release. So
yeah.
All right. Now we're going to get to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we try to find some of our favorite messages to read here on the show. So let's get to it. Our first email this week, I believe, comes from a new emailer. That's always exciting to hear from new people. So hello. This is from Lorkhan, sends us this email. So a big hello to this first-time emailer, who says, hello, OLR. In the last episode, you briefly mentioned Enderal, the Shards of Order, which in... German is die. I'm going to totally mispronounce this. The emailer apologizes. Sorry if my English is not perfect. Well, guess what? My German is atrocious. So what? Die Trümmer der Ordnung. I don't know if that's even right. But anyway, that's what they call it over there. I got the impression that you may not be completely aware of this gem. That's why I wanted to highly recommend it to you. If my impression was wrong, this mail is probably obsolete. No, you're right. This came up last week in the fan game stuff, which...
Yes, I have no idea what it is.
They didn't even end up giving that away at the award show. That award, by the way. Did you know that? That fan
game? No, I noticed.
Yeah. So anyway... Lorcan continues and says, Enderal is a so-called total conversion of Skyrim. It's an independent and free game that only requires the Steam version of Skyrim without DLCs. It comes with its own soundtrack and professional voice acting, according to the website, in German and English. I've only played the German version so far. It's basically like Skyrim, just better, in my opinion. The atmosphere of the whole world is much denser with more details. If you like exploring, there's an enormous amount of things to find on and off the road. The skill system differs from Skyrim, and the story and quests seem more interesting as well. I haven't finished the game yet. So if you like Skyrim, you may want to give it a try instead of playing the special edition. Greetings from Deutschland, Lorcan. Sorry if my English is not perfect. No, you did a fantastic job, and thank you. I love it when emailers... will email us and tell us, like, their side of the story on a game. Because, again, you know, we all have day jobs and lives and things like that. We cannot play every single stinking video game that's released. If I was getting paid a salary to do this show, maybe we could do that. But, you know, we don't. So it is what it is. So we love when fans kind of give us their opinion on things. I would have loved to get Alan's opinion. Alan had to step out and run an errand. So he's can't really tell his side. But I will tell him to check it out because he does like mods. And so the fact that you kind of have this as like a complete redo of Skyrim from the ground up with like different stories, that sounds pretty awesome. So weird that we will never find out who won that award, though. This is very, very weird. Raginator emails us saying, hello, OLR, it's your favorite friendly neighborhood gaming deals expert, Raginator. I thought that I'd write in to mention that GOG is currently having their winter sale. It's been going on for 4 days as of now today, Sunday the 4th. While not everything is on sale, a good many games are, including some true classics. Now, the nice thing is, during the sale, you can earn XP by performing certain tasks or buying certain stuff. As soon as you meet certain XP thresholds, you can claim up to 3 specific games for free. Lastly, although it's too late to do anything about it if you hadn't done so already, for the first 48 hours of the sale, you could have claimed an old D&D game, Temple of Elemental Evil. Yeah, I went to go get Neverwinter Nights and then realized it was only free for 48 hours. Whoops on me. So, yes, I was aware of this, and I was disappointed that I missed out on the free game, but that's on me. I should have got it when I had the chance. I think it's only like $4 otherwise. And then finally, I do have a game recommendation for you. If you like games Portal 1 and 2, then you'll love Maze, M-A-I-Z-E. The game will have you laughing so hard that you'll end up either pissing or shitting yourself. Did that happen to you, Raginator? Is that what you're emailing? Do you really want to tell us all here at OLR that that's what happened to you? It's a little embarrassing. Keep that to yourself. I'll just say that the game is, wait for it, amazing. Yeah, yeah, I know the pun was corny. It was pretty bad. But I do like recommendations, especially for games that are like Portal. And Portal's a funny game, and so I'm all for this Maze, a funny game, too. This email was brought to you by the next classic game of the week, Halo. No.
And if you also like Portal, you should try Portal Stories Mel, which is also a free expansion thing that they have.
Yeah, that's like a fan thing that they did on Steam or something, right?
Yeah, it is. And then they also have one that's without the portal guns. It's with just the they're the paint guns, I guess, that do the it's with the bouncy one and the acceleration gels, the gel guns. So that's pretty cool too.
Our next email here is from, I think, another new emailer, Jose, who emails us and says, "Dear OLR crew, I would like to say that I'm a huge fan of your show. I want to know if you ever had a game that made you so angry you couldn't stand to finish it. For me, it would be Spider-Man 3 on the Xbox 360. Loki, a game that made you so angry you couldn't finish it."
I know there has been. I just can't think of what it is off the top of my head.
I certainly get frustrated with games. Like, you kind of hit a wall in a game, and you feel like you're never going to get past that point, and so you're kind of, like, not able to beat it. Oh, God, I feel like this happens with a lot of different games.
I know, what, it's hard to for think me, my copy of God of War, when I had, like, the original God of War, like, at the very end boss got all jacked up, and it wouldn't work right, and I couldn't kill the end boss. And I remember that was frustrating, so I didn't ever finish that game. But that's the only thing I could think of. I know there's been others that have been like that, but I can't remember what they are off the top of my head.
Here's some comments in our chat on that. ActDev says Space Giraffe. Akuma JP says Mega Man or Final Fantasy 13. And then some folks chiming in about that Rock Cyclops and Mega Man. So Dungeon Buster is saying. Dark Tetsuya says Dragon Quest Swords. I was probably near the end. But I was fighting this super tough knight enemy. I'd already expended all my healing items. I finally kill it, and a second one drops down in its place. Oh, for me, that would be Pokemon Sun and Moon, because one too many SOS battles killed it for me. No, I just want to be a little shy. I'm kidding. Actually, Shane gave me a copy of, like, all the starter Pokemon. I say a copy because he, like, bred them and all that stuff. So I have a team now that's every starter Pokemon and, like, a Mimikyu. And so, like, it's the door is wide open for me to just play through the damn game. I don't even have to catch any freaking Pokemon. I could just take these all the way to the end. So hopefully that will happen in the next few weeks. We'll see. Anyway, continuing on with the email. Also, I want to know if you guys like anime. Which favorite, least favorite?
I was going to say also some, like, Final Fantasy 13 on some of those what were they called? Like the, I always want to call them, like, you know, summons, whatever they call them, whatever their word for summons in that game was, you know, where you had to fight those to get them.
Eidolons. Yeah, some of those fights were really hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why the fuck do we got to change what they call that shit?
I know.
Game. It's like fucking Final Fantasy 14.
That's why some people.
It's like, dude, they're the same fucking classes that were in 11. Why the fuck did they change the names on all of them?
That's why some people took issue. That's why some people took issue. All right. Anime. What's your favorite and least favorite, Loki? I don't watch a lot of it, but I like Miyazaki movies. That's my serious answer.
They're good.
I don't watch a lot of it.
I mean, recently I haven't watched a whole ton. I do like the CG remake of Captain Harlock. I thought that was pretty badass.
I've seen pieces here and there. I've gone to enough conventions.
I liked the last anime that I watched. The anime series I watched was Attack on Titan. I really liked that. But I don't really watch a whole lot of series. I mean, there's not a whole lot. I used to just kind of get into, like, the really short series. Like, Trigun was before that. I think it was probably the last one I liked a lot. And before that, even just a lot of, you know, Neon Genesis was all right. But it's been remade, like, several times now. So, like, I don't even know. Like, I'm talking about the original series. So I have no idea what it even looks like now. It's just, and that's too damn hard to follow anyways. What else did I like? I used to like Golden Boy, which was a pretty pornographic one, but it wasn't it wasn't too pornographic. I'd be like a rated R. It's not like, you know, straight up porn. It was just, is this perverted guy. And it was a hilarious, like, 6-episode series. But I liked that a lot. And I still like that. I think that's a hilarious series. Project Aiko, like, going way old school. I used to love, that was such a weird series with, like, the women that looked like men. And, like, just the whole, I don't know, world for that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I used to watch the Pokemon anime back in the day.
I don't think
need
it's
to watch
very
the
good.
New ones.
I don't think the Pokemon anime is that great.
The early ones were so cheesy.
I mean, it has a lot of character, but it also has a lot of, you know, oh, we're going to this random filler town of the week, and we're not advancing the plot any.
Anyway, there's going to be judgy people out there. Oh, Rob only watches.
Yeah, and of course, you know, like, if we're talking like standalone movies, you know, Ghost in the Shell, yeah, Akira. Yeah. I mean,
Urosu Doji.
No.
Oh, can I say the Tron anime that they, no, seriously,
no,
I mean,
that was pretty awesome, and I never finished watching. I like saw 2 episodes of that, and it was just,
I have another answer. Daft Punk music videos.
Okay, you mean like the Interstellar 555?
Yeah,
why can't I say,
is that a legit answer?
Yeah, well, Interstellar 555 is basically all those together in one movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's short on plot, but like,
isn't a lot of anime.
Well, depends. I think as far as recent anime goes, Mawaru Penguin Drum was amazing, and I like that one a lot. Like stuff I watched when I was a kid, Digimon Adventure, and like, I don't know, Azumanga Daioh is kind of old, but I love that a lot.
All right. Let's get to, I think I have one more email I want to make sure I get to here, except I accidentally closed the screen, so I got to bring it back up. But again, if you want to email us and participate with the show, it's participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Here it is. The email's from Rob Bubba. That's the Rob with 2 B's, not to be confused with this Rob. Rob says, I was happy to hear you report LEGO City Undercover was coming to other consoles. I called the Wii version best game of the year. I think he meant Wii U. I think that, or did it come out on the Wii at the same time? Maybe it did.
It was only a Wii U.
Okay, thank you. I think the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One may be superior because the load times were horrible on the Wii U, about 90 seconds each time you do a story, go inside police headquarters, etc. The Wii U had the advantage of the touchscreen being a map, though. I found the game extremely funny, and it proved that GTA-type games can be family-friendly. I just hope it isn't $60. I completed it 100% on a system with no achievements.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of money that I would pay for a LEGO Grand Theft Auto game. You know,
Here it is.
I understand that, but, you know, LEGO City Undercover was different, and they honestly need more in that series. I think it would be pretty awesome, but, you know, just dumb it down, don't make it, like, so violent, and I would totally play the crap out of that.
Participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you would like to email us in a future week for Dark Soccer to read on air. We'll pick our favorites. Sometimes we do have to edit them for content and time a little bit, but we will always read your emails.
Yep.
Well, unless we get like inundated 1 week, then we're going to spread around the love. And Ragenator, we love you, but when you email us every week, we'll let someone else have a chance. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Let's get to some other news. Loki.
So speaking of a game that's also in the LEGO franchise, I haven't played this in a while because I bought it on Early Access on Steam long time ago, and that wasn't really fun then because at the early state that it was, but it's come a long way since then. But now it's leaving Early Access, and that game would be LEGO Worlds. It was kind of that cross between LEGO and Minecraft, where basically you're just building whatever the fuck you want, and you can dig and gather resources and stuff like that and get designs. And apparently, I guess it was in Early Access for 18 months. Man, that's been a while. But now it's going to be coming to consoles. So that's going to be coming to consoles on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in February. So you can go check that out. It looks pretty, looks interesting. I may have to go try it again on PC again because I do have it on PC. But like I said, back when I played it originally, there was no point to the game. There was really, the building didn't seem that easy. And just like kind of the exploration, it was kind of lame. I don't know. But it could be good. I mean, so I'll have to check it out again.
All right. So this is different, though, from the LEGO. I mean, this is that Minecraft-y LEGO game, right?
Yeah, it's like the open world Minecraft-y game that you can kind of build whatever. So I'll have to check it out.
Did you actually play it on PC?
I did a little bit, but it was only, you know, it was early access. So it was really glitchy and just kind of, I don't know, there was no point to it.
Okay. Well, maybe they'll put a point in the console releases. That would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah. Minecraft kind of got a point when it came out to consoles, so that was nice.
Yeah.
All right. This is interesting. You guys know I'm not a fan of Facebook these days. Tangent time. I've been needled a little bit on why did the show lose the Facebook question of the week. And admittedly, part of that is my own frustration with social media in general. Part of that, you could say, is maybe the election stuff and the whole fake news and all that stuff that kind of goes on around there. But this was something that I think even existed before that, is that, like, you know, the whole – the social media has taken over too much, and especially Facebook in a way. Like, I'm really getting sick and fucking tired of how Facebook – will just do what they want to do because they think they know what you want, right? Facebook reorders your timeline. Facebook shows you that friends are live when you don't really give a shit.
Yeah, it's so hard. Like, I love back in the day when everything was in order. You know, granted, I know there's plugins to do that. But, like, now it's so hard. Like, you can say you can view someone's, story or post or whatever, and you go and look something else, and you come back, and you can't find it again unless you go to their page because it's just been reordered the shit.
So, you know, I feel like on that type of personal level, like, I don't necessarily want to keep supporting Facebook more and more because I feel like Facebook is something a lot of us should be cutting back on, myself included. You know, Facebook is just too much right now. And I think that's kind of like where my head is at, is that, like, I don't necessarily need Facebook to be like a central part of the show. But at the same time, I don't want you guys to hear that as, you know, I don't have a lot of love for the community and you guys that are out there and wanting to get more voices on the show. I do realize that Facebook is so integrated into our lives and all that stuff, and that I'm almost committing suicide for the ratings of this program by not being more active on Facebook. And I'm really, you know, robbing the show of more potential listeners and all that stuff. But that's just where I'm at personally, is that I'm kind of willing to give that up because I believe that strongly, that we need to cut back on the amount of Facebook in our lives and not necessarily increase it. Like, it's just too much. I realize it's a little tangenty, maybe a little political, which you guys don't always like it when we go there, but that's just my honest to God answer. So I hope you guys don't take it personally. If there's other ideas you guys have, I'm all ears. Google Plus, though, even that's – I mean, you guys might think that – even Google Plus is starting to be like, well, since we didn't work as a social network, like, we want to be more – I feel like they're going for more like a Pinterest angle or something, where it's like about communities and groups. And, like, I don't – Google Plus is failing to tell me what the hell they are right now. And that's why I'm struggling with Google Plus even. So, JD, thoughts?
You could always just post the question on Twitter.
That's true.
Because Twitter, at least, I mean, it has its issues, but it's
Twitter
not
does
the worst.
Have its issues, but Twitter is extremely filterable, and the fact that Twitter limits you to 140 characters is a lot. But Twitter has its own drawbacks as well.
Sure.
Some folks in chat say more Vogue, less Facebook. As Joe100 Matt says, use the Vogue forums instead of Facebook. I feel like Facebook killed internet forums. So many of them. I mean, yes, I know NeoGAF is still a thing, and there's others as well, but, like, it's rough. It's rough.
And Facebook is a poor replacement. It does not work well as a message board because of all the algorithmic, you know, stuff like that. Like, I mean, Reddit is better for message boarding.
And maybe that's the thing. I've actually had somebody suggest you should do an OLR Reddit. Maybe. I'm again, Reddit has its own issues too, but I'm a little more open to that right now.
I feel like so Reddit we'll has a lot of good cross-promotion opportunities.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, that's where I'm at. So I apologize. I just wanted to respond to that because people have been calling us out on it. Like, why did we kind of... And, you know, after the hiatus, I thought we could incorporate it back into the show, but I felt like it was like we were doing more Facebook instead of less. And it was like that promotional side of me was starting to take over. And I was like, you know what? I want to do this for the right reasons. So... but speaking of which, this is about Facebook, and as exciting as something that like this sounds, there's a part of me that winces because Facebook owns it. And this is Facebook gaming. So this is separate from the games that cluttered your feed at one time before Facebook banished them to their own feed. And the separate, like, they have like a store type of thing, like Steam, like a Facebook client, Facebook Universe or something they call it.
And their own platform.
But this is separate from all that. Now they're going to shove games into Messenger, or they have. They say it's in closed beta, but it showed up on mine. And so in a message with Alan, you hit the little controller, and now you can challenge Alan to play a game of Pac-Man. And it's a little HTML5 Pac-Man. It's just one stage, one life, And it's who can get the highest score. They're like little micro games.
Yeah, my wife did this with, like, they had, like, if you do some of the emojis for, like, sports games, like, mm-hmm. there's little mini games associated with that.
Is this going to be Farmville all over again?
Perhaps.
Because I got tired of invites real quick.
I don't know. Space Invaders, Words with Friends, also involved in, like, micro versions available on...
Yeah, you send this through, you know, Messenger to me. I'll have some Words with Friends.
I spammed one of my groups today just because I wanted to test it, and I don't think anybody else tried it. It was just me and some of my friends from, like, Chicago and other places. I don't think anybody else touched it. But I did play the Pac-Man, and it was a competent conversion, and there's a lot I like about the idea. I just – it's on Facebook, and therefore I'm already kind of like, does Facebook need to have more? I don't know about that. So anyway, there you go. So Facebook is launching the gaming thing, but it is a little bit more micro, in tune to play and messaging. I guess to play while you wait for somebody to respond, and you will know when they've read the email because Facebook will tell you that, and it does not allow you to turn that setting on or off.
Like Facebook won't allow me to get rid of – apparently I have an Instagram account. I have never set up an Instagram account. I have an Instagram account, and I get fucking notifications on it. Constantly, and it fucking pisses me off.
So anyway,
yep.
Let's move on. I could talk about my grievances with that for a long time, but we're gonna move on for now.
All right, so this is kind of cool. Ubisoft, you know, they're putting out some VR games, and one of the things that's kind of neat about this is that they're going to be going cross-platform for their multiplayer on those. So for Eagle Flight, Werewolves Within, and Star Trek Bridge Commander, players will be able to play against each other across PlayStation VR, Oculus Rift, and HTC Vive. And apparently the first game to have that available is, well, I guess the only one that's out right now, Eagle Flight. So that's coming, and then Werewolves Within... looks like December 6th, and Star Trek Bridge Crew is on March 14th. But see, I always thought that would be kind of difficult with all these different platforms that are out there. You know, how are we going to have some sort of synergy with being able to play with each other? And now this is kind of neat that they're doing this. I don't know how that's going to work with all the different control schemes and everything, if that's going to play into it quite a bit. But it's nice to see that at least this is playing nice with the other platforms.
Nintendo Switch, a lot of you want more information on the Nintendo Switch, and you're going to get the information on the Nintendo Switch in early January, January 12th. That date is coming sooner than we think. I mean, that's only about a month away now. So finally, we know what Nintendo's future will be looking like a little better. Not only will we be getting the announcements on January 12th, there is going to be an event in New York. It is private, so I imagine this is a press-only event, but it will be happening on January 13th, the very next day. It is a five-hour event that will further emphasize on some of the details that Nintendo plans to announce. This is my perception is that this is the press to get their opportunity to play the Switch, to write all about it, because this is around the time pre-orders will be going live. I can't stress this enough. If you think you want a Nintendo Switch, you need to be prepared to pull the trigger on a pre-order on January 12th. Because that is likely when it will be going live everywhere. And you guys know how Nintendo is with hardwares. Incompetent. So I would highly suggest if you want to switch, get in on that on January 12th. And so if you don't have money and you need to put down $50 at GameStop or whatever, either A, find a place that doesn't ask for money up front, because like Amazon doesn't, pretty much any other place doesn't. Maybe Target wants like a dollar, right? If they do systems. Do they do systems at Target, though? They do games.
They might.
I feel like they do.
So my advice, strong advice, do that research now. Where are you going to pre-order? What are you going to look up on the 12th? And get ready to go when that announcement is done. But anyway, we will get all the details on January 13th. And I'm not guaranteeing pre-orders are going live that day or even the January 13th, but they will go live around that time.
If they're still launching in March, they got to be coming soon. Like, 2-month pre-order window? I'm shocked that they haven't already started taking pre-orders for that.
I am also shocked as well, but I believe Nintendo is truly waiting for the holidays to be over so that that is off everybody's mind. So that they, because in early January, Nintendo will dominate gaming news. There's really nothing else going on in January except... we will have a lead up to Mass Effect Andromeda. I think we have a couple games in early January that were put, like the South Park game. No, we don't have a date for that, do we?
That's still. It's sometime around that.
But anyway, my point is, it's there's not going to be a lot to compete with. So Nintendo will have an open news cycle. They will dominate that conversation. So this is it's a risk, but we'll see. So anyway, William Murderface in chat says, incompetent? I doubt it. More like manipulative. Well, since they won't admit to being manipulative, I am left to assume the other. Also in Wii U news and Switch news, Stardew Valley for the Wii U has been canceled. It will not be happening on the Wii U, but Nintendo fans, do not be disappointed. They're just going to move it over to the Switch. And I think, you know, this makes a lot of sense coming from the dev team. You know, they're looking at Wii U in the current gaming landscape, and they made the difficult choice to shift things over to the Switch. Hey, look, I get it. The Wii U's got one foot out the door. You know, I know it's going to have a last hurrah with Breath of the Wild, but it has to share that with the Switch. So, you know, I think this is the right call. You know, and I still consider myself a Nintendo fan. This is the right thing to do. Sucks for Wii U owners, but I'm sure a large percentage of the folks that would be interested in Stardew Valley who own a Wii U are probably looking into the Switch. The only question is the supply. Just a couple more stories and then phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Loki.
All right, so we had talked a little bit about Pokemon Go kind of expanding their whole update with the new tracker. Well, that previously was on just the west of the Mississippi. Now it is updated, I guess, for the whole United States and most of Europe. So that's pretty cool. And not sure if they're going to be adding anything else near future, but yeah, it's nice that new tracker is out there. So hopefully a lot more of you can experience it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So luckily it didn't take a long time for that to get everywhere.
Right.
Once it started expanding, because it took a long time once they were beta-ing it to go everywhere.
Even if I feel like some days I'm the only one still playing Pokemon Go. Well, Alan's still playing here and there. He just hit 27, right, last night?
24.
No, not that high. 24.
Yeah.
I hit 26.
Okay, I took advantage of the bonus XP to use a lucky egg over Thanksgiving.
Got it. And so you're still playing Pokemon Go.
I am.
So there are people playing Pokemon Go. It's just not nearly what it was.
I'm not nearly playing as much as I used
to. If I get more burnt out on Ingress, maybe. I mean, because I like having something to do, but I'm just...
I'm hitting that point in Ingress where I'm getting burned out. I pushed too hard to get to level 15 by the end of the double XP event and all that, and I'm just kind of hitting this point where I'm like, I have... And that happening at the exact same time Final Fantasy 15 coming out, it's like I'm having that whole sit-down discussion with myself, because I do that with the voices in my head, of the whole, do I spend too much time playing MMOs? But there's a very social and real element to Ingress I don't want to miss out on, so I'm kind of like one of those, I don't really want to play Ingress, but if there's a pizza party involved, then I'll get it out. Right? That's what it is for me.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's more of when a game becomes, you know, it's from when it's fun to when it's a chore. And it's been more on that chore side.
I am still having a hard time letting it go. There's a very, very competitive side of me that doesn't want to let it go.
Right.
And I still have to.
No one likes losing, but, you know. Right.
No, it's not. I mean, but our team isn't losing for the entire year because we've won more cycles, of course. But what happened? We may be losing the current battle, but we're definitely not losing the war. But all that joke and smack talking aside, and all that stuff, I just really have to kind of evaluate, the priority level. But that's going to take some time, I think.
Yeah,
you know, as it would with any MMO. Anybody who's been spending two nights a week playing World of Warcraft kind of has to hit that point, I think. And either you quit cold turkey or you kind of start to ease out and you say, maybe I'll play one night a week or that type of thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. I need more time to play Pokemon. That's my problem. I can't play Pokemon Sun. I'm not even talking about Pokemon Go. I'm talking about Pokemon Sun and Moon. I don't have enough time to play it. But Pokemon Sun and Moon, I mean, a lot of you are into it. And this is not a surprise to me whatsoever. Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon sold a whopping 3.7 million units in just 2 weeks. That is an 85% increase on what they sold with Pokemon X and Y. And I firmly believe this is Pokemon Go's doing. I think it's also the smart intertwining between Pokemon Go bringing back Generation 1 Pokemon to people's minds,
right,
and the throwback to Gen 1.
It'd be nice if we had that, you know, cross interaction with it. You know.
Well, and this, at the end of the day, Pokemon Go was probably rushed, not only for the peripheral, but for this reason. Pokemon Go had to come out when it came out to get the hype, to get the pre-orders, to get people in for Sun and Moon so I could be reporting this today.
Yeah.
So even if I'm sitting here saying, you know, overall, well, Pokemon Go is declining and all this stuff, this, I firmly believe, is in large part, not solely, but in large part to the fact that Pokemon Go happened and it was such a big deal that it was. However, it shouldn't be dismissed that SOS battles aside, Pokemon Sun and Moon probably are the strongest Pokemon games they've dare I say, ever made. JD, ever?
Well, I mean, yeah, probably. I'm nostalgic for Gen 2.
I know you are. I know you are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Shane on the last Pokestop podcast was saying these are his favorite, hands down. And I can see why. I really can. And all the quality of life stuff really, really helps.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really pretty. Like,
it is.
Yeah. You know, there's a legendary they're giving away for free tomorrow if you've beaten the game, and it'll be up until March.
I haven't beaten the game. I guess I better get on that.
Well, I mean, your deadline is like March 5th.
Oh, well, I have a little time.
Yeah, but it's the distribution starts tomorrow, December 5th, and it's a QR code that you use the scanner in game for.
Okay, which will I finish first? Are we ready? Here's another. Oh, here it is. Another multiple choice for everybody. Which will I finish first? Final Fantasy 15, Pokemon Sun and Moon, level 16 in Ingress. Which will happen first?
I think that depends on social pressure.
Loki, care to guess?
Final Fantasy 15.
That's where my money is.
ActDev says Mass Effect Andromeda will happen first. That's a fair bet. That's a fair guess. All right, we'll see. All right, anyhow, also, if you want to experience Sun and Moon and other times, the soundtrack is now available on iTunes, so you can check that out. The pricing appears to be 8.99 euros, is $16.99 Australian dollars. I guess when this report came out, it was only in those stores, but usually when those come out in Australia and Europe, they will be available everywhere else in a matter of time. That brings us to the end of the news that we had slotted for tonight. Ooh, we kind of ran through part B here, but we had a really long part A tonight, so I guess everything balanced itself out. But we're not done yet because you guys have a chance to call us. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to talk about Pokemon or the Game Awards or possibly want to talk about the PlayStation Experience or something else that happened this week, please feel free to give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And, ooh, it's lighting up already, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDef.
Hey, ActDef, what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, a lot of things happened this week, but I'm going to I want to ask about the PlayStation Experience.
Sure.
Basically, my question is, how does this affect E3? Like, we got a lot of announcements yesterday with the keynote in the PlayStation Experience, and really big bombshells like Marvel versus Capcom and The Last of Us Part 2, like really big games. And I wouldn't see this announcement outside E3, but now with events like this, we have them. So what's going to happen now with E3 in the future with events like with this, like PlayStation Experience?
My honest answer, ActDef, nothing. I think we will continue to see E3. Because, and the reason why I'm saying this is that if this was year one of the PlayStation Experience, I would be with you a little bit. But this is year three. And every year they have dropped some pretty big bombshells on us. Street Fighter V was announced at the PlayStation Experience. What were some other big stuff that came out of PlayStation Experience? You remember, Loki? I just remember Street Fighter V was the big one. The Final Fantasy VII, not remake, but remaster. Remember that whole... Like, yeah. Everybody started to lose the... Yeah, remember that? That was that whole thing. But honestly, I think Sony has is pumping out enough games, and they've figured out the news cycle well enough that they can kind of do both. And this year, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they have an additional conference about virtual reality that they were still able to do? So Sony's got enough news. I was really surprised, ActDef, that God of War didn't show up at all. That ended up being a little more exclusive to E3. I'm sure that game is still in the oven, still cooking. We need to see what's going to come with that. So I'm not like disappointed it didn't show up or anything like that. But I imagine we'll get an update on God of War at E3 and everybody will lose their shit. We didn't see Final Fantasy VII Remake. We didn't see Kingdom Hearts 3. One of those has to be next year, as I said earlier in the show. Just like there was a lot of pressure for Last Guardian to be this year. So, yes, I think we'll get an update on one of those games next E3. So I think there's still plenty left to talk about, ActDef. So I, I, I don't think this is going to ruin E3 or the news cycle or anything. I really don't.
Yeah, me either. Like, I don't think E3 is going to disappear, like, from one day or one year to another.
Yeah.
Because we also have, like, third parties, so. But I think E3 is going to become more and more like irrelevant for at least the big three, like Microsoft, maybe Sony and Nintendo eventually. I pretty much I'm sure I'm seeing right now with Nintendo like not taking E3 like a serious platform to show their games on.
You know what? You raise a really good point. I kind of see where you're going with this now. I see why you brought this up in the first place. Now you're right. This is kind of all about, you know, the diminishing of E3's relevancy, and maybe, you know, I mean, the fact that the Nintendo Switch. When was the last time we had a console not unveiled at E3? Not unveiled at E3. A console, not a peripheral, so not like VR or any of that stuff, the Move or any of that stuff. A console, not at E3. I can't think of one. I really can't. Maybe somebody in chat can think of one, has a memory that goes a little further back. I can't. So that alone, you're right, ActDev, that's huge news. But I still think, at least for the next couple of years, I mean, I don't see E3 going belly up next year. But I definitely think the ESA probably has to be having that conversation about, you know, how do we keep this show exciting? Are we going to open it up to the public, like Tokyo Game Show, which would be fascinating? Or, you know, what's going to happen? I don't know. I could see E3 as a whole changing. But for now, I think Sony still has enough news that they could still, you know, their E3 press conference will still be a big deal.
And yeah, you bring up a good point. Like the public, like only E3 only accepts media and persons or people from the industry, but it's not open to the public. But something like PlayStation Experience, it is.
Well, and so, the whole perception of what is media is changing, and ESA has not always done the best job of catching up to that. And I'm not just saying that as some bitter Betty podcaster who used to be able to get an E3 no problem and now has a really hard time doing so because E3 doesn't know how to measure the impact of podcasts and so forth, which, you know, whatever, whatever. But it's not even podcasters. Like, we were the question marks of 10 years ago. It's just a lot of us are still going. Now the question is YouTubers and Twitch streamers. Are they media?
Yeah.
Or not? Because many of them have like 50,000 followers. Some of them are still getting into E3. Like, what is that all about? You know, and I think ESA has a lot of these types of questions to answer.
Yeah, and we've seen like in the last few years that many YouTube personalities go to E3 like, oh, I'm going to E3, like it's like something, no, uneventful, or like, yeah, I'm going to E3, whatever, and yeah, it's what it means for the rest of the media or journalists and in the industry, and I was talking about this in my podcast. That something like PlayStation Experience, I don't even need like a media badge. Probably if I want to do interviews, I want to cover like more for my site and all that, maybe. But even if I don't get it, I can just buy a ticket and go and at least play the games, live the experience in my personal level, and report from that. So. I think that E3 at least needs to change that. So, yeah.
Very, very good perspective and some really good points, ActDeft. Gold star for you for this call tonight. I do want to say, though, on chat, SSG100 Matt says, the investors will still want E3 around regardless, just to be that figure piece to tout the stocks. You know, Loki, let me go back to you because you worked on that side of the industry that we often don't talk about on this show because, let's be real, it's not the glamorous side of games. And that is the wheeling and dealing of the, you know, distribution and the marketing and all that side of things, because we only get that whole, like, you know, the media fire up and so forth. Does that side of the industry still need E3? Does that side of the industry still need that big show every year to have those wheelings and dealings about how many copies are on shelves and all that?
They do. I mean, To a certain extent, yeah, they do meet a lot of... I mean, I don't know if it necessarily needs to be E3, but there aren't a lot of conferences that they go and meet with a lot of these first-party publishers and stuff. So that is really the only time that they're sitting face-to-face to renegotiate deals and to try to get them to get you enough supply. I mean, because you think Nintendo's bad in stores. I mean, it's just as bad on the distribution side. It's like, oh, hey, by the way... Yeah, we know that, you know, you have customers looking for thousands of units of, you know, the Wii. You're getting five. Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Right. ActDeft, again, great call. I still think E3 is going to be a thing, but the ESA definitely needs to evaluate a lot of things with E3. And I wouldn't be surprised if we, you know, get some press release in 2017. You know, they haven't opened registration for 2017 yet. That's not going to happen until after Nintendo does their thing. But I'll be very curious to see if maybe there's going to be some changes with this year's show. We'll see.
Hopefully.
We'll see. All right. Take care, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Bye-bye. Great call from ActDeft. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. See, I thought he was kind of going one place at the beginning of the call, which is like I took it one way about the announcements, but he really made a great point about E3 and that shows like PlayStation Experience, I don't want to say they take away from E3, but they kind of show that Sony can throw their own damn party. Nintendo can throw their own damn party. Microsoft is certainly capable of throwing their own damn party if they want. We just live in a different time now. All right. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge
Radio. And to be honest, on the retail side, yeah. Microsoft does throw their own damn party. Sony also throws their own damn party. Nintendo's pretty much the only one that doesn't.
Microsoft threw a party when they announced the Xbox One. Now, granted, that backfired on them spectacularly, but I don't think they're ruined. I mean, there's a new person in charge at Microsoft. Microsoft is not barred from ever being able to do their own. Like, if Microsoft wanted to do a Microsoft thing, people would go.
I'd probably have an Xbox One already if Crackdown would fucking come out already.
All you people that never shut up about Halo, you'd go. Anyway, we have another call on the line. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Well, the only reason why people complain about Halo is because of the budget.
Because you're cutting in and out a little bit, but I think you said because they want to bug Jamie?
No, the budget.
Oh, the budget.
Yeah, that's the Fifth Avenue store.
Ah. Did we have our... Okay, so our feed went down live. They're saying, that's okay. We're going to keep going for the sake of the recording. So, Rama, what's on your mind tonight?
First off, can we give an FU to Comcast for the feed going down?
Yes, I agree. Big FU to that. That was a weird hiccup, though. It wasn't... But here's the thing, Rama. It actually might not have been on my end because you're still here on the call. So yeah. That indicates to me an FU to the VOG hosting service because our call didn't drop, so the internet connection didn't cut out.
Yeah, and I was starting to freak out. I'm just like, my settings were set perfectly when I called Bobby earlier tonight. I mean, nothing's changed except I turned up the volume.
We're under attack. We're getting hacked. First they came for the voting machines, then they came for OLR. All right.
No, damn dirt.
In all seriousness, maybe I said too much about the ESA tonight. They're coming for me. All right, no, in all seriousness, what's on your mind?
Well, there were some things I wanted to say, but I forgot, but... I will listen to the show. It'll come back to me, and I'll just send an email. But can I just give a fuck you to Capcom real quick?
Oh, why is this?
Nobody wants Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I think we're at
I do.
Well, you are one out of like 1,000 people, okay? When that was announced, the majority of my Facebook was like, no, no, no,
I don't know. The people in NeoGAF seem to be pretty excited about it.
All right, let the man finish. All right, even though... There's a little confirmation bias at work here. What is it that people really want?
New stuff. I get it. Capcom is rehashing these IPs because they're like, oh, let's throw some more money and just make more money out of it. Instead of like, let's bring an older IP or an older franchise out, blow the dust off of it, tweak it some, and put it back out there and see what happens.
Or it's fascinating to me, something like Resident Evil 7. Is like, it's a Resident Evil game, but it's kind of not. Like, you look at all the previews, and you're like, this is going a really different direction. Obviously inspired a lot by the PT stuff and all that. It's interesting that they kind of won't put a new name on some of their games that have clearly changed.
Yeah, but I'm like, well, I remember when we used to complain about Nintendo doing this, and I was like, well, you know, Nintendo's bringing back, recycling some of these IPs to get the newer generation. I get that. Then it's like other companies are jumping in on the bandwagon, and I'm just like, well, I've already played these. I mean, you're bringing it back, you're adding a little bit extra. I'm like, I'm not going to pick this up, you know?
See, I thought the FU was going to be because Mega Man was in that trailer, yet they still won't give us another fucking Mega Man game.
I could give two shits about that. My thing is, they trolled everybody on the Marvel license because everybody knew that they no longer had it. And, you know, right about now, if you ask me, everything Capcom is doing now is to make money back off of Street Fighter V, okay?
Yeah, Street Fighter V is kind of Capcom's Final Fantasy 14 right now, a little bit. But, do you think people are going to get jazzed about Akuma? I don't know. I will say, watching the match, we did watch the final match, and I don't know a lot about Street Fighter V, but it was pretty exciting to watch.
I wasn't even around, so I did not catch that. I would just pick up bits and pieces from people on Facebook so I could figure out what the hell is going on. And to be perfectly honest, like I said, I'm getting a PS4. I'm only getting it for one reason. Final Fantasy VII. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, Capcom, give me another reason to get a PS4. I want multiple reasons. Y'all ain't doing it for me. No.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Mama, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show, but thanks for the call, as always.
No problem. And one more thing, I'm going to give you a couple of quick anime titles to check out since you were talking anime earlier.
You are the anime connoisseur here at VOG Network.
Yeah, and Mako-chan's a hentai connoisseur.
Yes, you and your pals, to be fair. It's just the other two don't call into this show. You do, so I'm picking on you.
Aruska Doji? Really, Rob? Really? You had to mention Aruska Doji.
It was a joke. It was a joke, please. Everybody from college knows that anime. Everybody from college got high or drunk and watched that anime at some point. Not that I would advocate doing that, but I'm just saying a lot of people did it.
I actually know one of the people who did voices on that one, okay? We'll just leave it at that.
What would you recommend?
Okay, long-term series, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's on its fourth season now, Diamond is Unbreakable. It's really great. It's really cool. If you like Fist of the North Star style animation, that's the first series and the second series, and as each series goes, the animation kind of goes up to date for the time period it's supposed to be. Like seasons 1 and 2 take place in the 1800s to like the 1920s, so it's like older 80s style animation, and then part 3, Stardust Crusaders, has like a 90s style to it, and now the new series, older 80s style, the new series Diamond is Unbreakable, 90s style to it. It's pretty cool. It's a lot of posing and so forth when you get to like seasons 2, 3, and 4.
All right. Well, those are some good recommendations. If I have time, which I don't, I'll watch them at some point. No, I really do need to make an effort to watch more, but I haven't even seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Rama. That's how, I am.
For a short series, Digimon Adventure Tree, it's like 3 movies. That's really is it. It's like the sequel to the first 2 Digimon seasons.
It's fantastic.
I like short series. That's how I was able to get convinced to watch Black Mirror. Somebody's like, dude, season 1 is 3 episodes. I'm like, sign me up. And then at least season 1's pretty good. I haven't watched the other seasons yet, but I hear they're a trip. So Stranger Things was 8 episodes. Easy peasy.
Did you ever watch Glee?
I watched half of the first season, and then I was like, this show has fallen up its ass so hard, I can't stand to watch it anymore.
Go watch Love Live. It'll reprieve Glee. Trust me on this. Go watch Love Live. Thank me for it later.
All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up.
Cool. Take care, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Anime Jam Session, of course, live Tuesday nights here at the Voice Geeks Network if you want to hear more talk about anime. SG100 Matt said, I was going to call in just to say MAGFest is 1 month away. If people are listening via the podcast and plan on attending MAGFest, keep an eye on the VOG forums for a rally call and possible meetup plans. I am actually trying to work out to still get on a panel. It won't be a VOG related thing, but I can't say much more on that now because I don't have anything confirmed yet. But stay tuned is all I can say. But for now, I'm about to wrap up the show, but I do want to check if there's any last minute stories, Loki.
Yeah, there's one thing. Apparently, PT has been data mined.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
And they found some...
Why did it take so long?
The encryption on maybe or something, but they found some monster models that were not in the game. So this weird, like, I don't even know, it's missing a head, missing a leg, and an arm. Yeah.
The things that could have been, but they're not. Sigh. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. It's 9:30 here on the West Coast, so this show has run very long. But granted, we had a little bit of a long break there, and then we started at like 6:10, so we were a little late tonight. But that's all right. We had a very fun show tonight, and that is large part thanks to JD. Thank you for being here and filling us in on Pokemon and music games and all that.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have anything to plug? You don't do your own show.
No, I mean, I have Twitter. You can follow me if you want. I post really terrible puns. I retweet a bunch of social justice stuff, and I game. So you know that's
awesome. Yeah. And you'll still be involved with GamerX when they do another one here, because that's where we.
As long as it's here, I mean, I can't promise anything if they do it in New York again.
Ah, gotcha. Sounded like that was a good time though. Extra win. He had a great time.
I heard it was really good from a lot of people. I just wasn't able to go.
That's all right. All right. Well, thank you. We'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Alan, I know you didn't get to sit in on a lot of the second half, but thank you for being here tonight and filling in the first part of the show.
No problem.
Any final thoughts for our listeners tonight or anything you want to plug?
Papa Murphy's Pizza. Go buy some.
It is pretty good.
It is good.
It is good. All right. They didn't pay for that sponsorship. As always, thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your week to either listen to us live or listen to us on the podcast feed. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, a 5-star review on a nice site like iTunes or Google Podcast or TuneIn, they all go a long way in helping to spread the word about the show. Tell a friend or two about the show. That's all we ask. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't air those voices if they're not here. And look, after that phone call with Shane tonight about Final Fantasy 15 is crap graphics or whatever it was he said, clearly we are able to have dissenting opinions here at OLR. Even when somebody is as blatantly wrong as he is, we will still air those voices here at Orange Lounge Radio. So thank you again. And email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. And that's all I've got to say. I guess my final thought for tonight would be I'm ready to do more side quests in Final Fantasy 15. I have now realized there is no penalty for staying up 8 days straight, except for the nighttime creatures. So I may have a new approach in Final Fantasy 15. We'll see. Loki, any final thoughts from you?
I guess I'll have to play Final Fantasy 15.
I think you should. Report on that next week.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back next week to do this all again. Dark Sakura makes her return to the show again, because she kind of did have a little fling there with episode 666, but she'll be back full time. I was texting with her a little bit during the show because on another issue, and she did want me to pass along the hellos. So hellos, and she will be back next week. We will be back next week. I hope you will be back next week. In the meantime, happy gaming, whether it's Final Fantasy 15, Pokemon, or whatever it is you're playing. Have fun. Treat each other with a little bit of respect, please, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.